Chef Brocon Show with Anna DeVlantisov for another day of broadcast insolence.
Happy Monday after a gorgeous weekend.
It's a gorgeous day, too.
Gorgeous day. It continues.
Yeah. The Skilling is on to something.
He is.
On something. I can't decide which.
He's perfect right now. No complaints with Tom Skilling.
Yeah.
We'll be talking to him.
Yes, we'll talk to him a little bit later on. Also, we'll be talking with Willie Wilson in just a few minutes. I've got my hand out.
You can't do that. It's really for needy people. That's the whole purpose is.
I have needs. What makes you think I don't have needs?
You don't have needs. Like people he's trying to help, saying that the rise in property taxes over the last 2 years, which have been substantial, have been hurting people who, you know, are paycheck to paycheck, and he's trying to help them. So I get that part of the story. I know he was cleared of the election issues.
Do you have to have property to ask for the money?
Oh, that's a very interesting question.
You mean you would want to collect for future property taxes that you might not be able to pay?
Potentially.
Yeah, or something. You know, maybe just could be anything. I don't know. Maybe there's something else that we could...
The food budget?
Yeah. You know. Anything? Something else? I mean, well, we'll find out.
What would you want the money for, Violetta?
Just to have.
Purse.
The essentials.
Right.
Girl wants some walking around money,
yeah.
Right?
Hair extensions.
Or shoes to walk around in.
Shoes, right. Yeah.
Red bottoms.
Yeah. Labutins aren't cheap, okay?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Jimmy Choo's. They're very expensive.
Yeah, so that, I mean, I suppose. Okay, well, we'll ask him all these questions when he gets here. And he's already here. He's in the green room hanging out, waiting. Mm-hmm. He's in between shows here. Well, he lives close, so yeah. It works out nicely.
He can walk right over. It's kind of nice.
All right, so that is coming our way. And then we've got a top 5 5, you won't believe it, 5 o'clock. Normal, full-size show today, by the way. And I should point out that I think it's later this week we're going to start. I know that we do hear from people from time to time about the fact that the show can't be heard during the White Sox games.
That's right. We do hear it a lot from people.
And we now have a solution to that so that we will continue to do the full radio show most days.
Mm-hmm.
And and you'll be able to make your choice between us and the White Sox.
I've been doing a full show this whole time. No one's been listening.
So we will...
Violetta wants credit for what she's been doing.
So, right.
Recognition.
Ask Willie Wilson for the credit if you need it.
Can we just say thank you to the Chicago Blackhawks for an amazing convention, a whole weekend, but we had a great broadcast on Friday, and it was just awesome to be associated with them. Yeah. I had a blast. It was so fun.
Yes.
To be out there.
Yeah, they are they are a very special organization.
They are.
And all of sports, and I just, they are the gold standard of how to treat their fans and to, you know, put on a great show. I mean, that's basically what it's all about, and that's what they do best. And they are, because you got to remember, I mean, it is an entertainment, and it's an expensive entertainment.
It is.
You know, like all live sports is. And that they make sure they try to put the best product on the ice, and they try to make the entire experience great. And they also like to have the players, you know, touching the fans.
That's right. And they do a good job of that because they realize the fans are there for them no matter what. And they love these Blackhawks. They love this team. They have high expectations for the new season. But how cool is it when you get to see face to face with the players, the organization, and they show so much respect back to the fans. And I think it's cool to see it.
It was kind of a big deal.
Yeah,
it really was.
Were there.
Too bad that Kev's not here today. Kev's taking part in a charity action for the White Sox today.
Is Joe Donlin part of it?
I think Joe is, and I'm not. I'd like to figure this out.
Weird.
Yeah.
So are they trying to be besties and leaving you out of the whole thing?
I'm feeling a little... I don't know how I feel about this.
I'm trying to figure out why I wasn't invited.
Andy, don't try to wedge in this, because this is very complicated.
Andy,
is
on a whole nother level.
Don't you get my way, Andy.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So we've got that.
Andy.
But we will talk to Adam Hogue from Bears camp and find out if the Bears are going to be as touchy-feely as the Blackhawks are.
And the Roquan Smith still out there, right? Not yet
only
signed.
One. He's the only one not signed.
And no one's panicking yet, right? We're not ready to panic yet.
Well, I think there's a little panic, but none visible. Let's put it that way.
Ro, aren't you going to panic over? That seems like something you could panic.
I'm pre-panicked. Well, first of all, because I've been working on this marketing thing, Rokon and Rokon.
I know.
So it's like, if he doesn't sign, what if he holds out the whole season? He's screwing up my marketing plan.
We were even going to get him to change his name to Rokon from Rokwan.
Yes.
Just have it pronounced a little different. You could spell it the same. That's okay.
It's like Quebec, you know? It's
right.
Q-U.
Right. Right. Who would notice?
Well, I'm getting a Bears jersey that just says Rokon on the back, R-O-E-C-O-N-N. So it's like a whole deal. I'm ready here. I am ready for this season, and we'll find out if they're going to be ready for this season. Actually, this is a really kind of cool moment on Thursday because it's the Hall of Fame game, and Chicago Bears great Brian Urlacher is going into the Hall of Fame.
Great.
And he will be in attendance at this game. And that's so, you know, for Bears fans, it's been a rough ride. There's no other way to describe this than that.
That's fair.
It's been a very rough ride for the last, 12 years. Yeah.
it's been that long?
Yeah. But it is.
Now we have something to celebrate.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. We do have something to celebrate. It's a new era. And all of these things that kind of happened in the past are behind us now. You got to remember, you know, after they fired Lovie Smith, they've been through three coaches now.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Right? They fired Lovie in 10, right?
It was I think it was after 10. And after a winning season.
Yes, right. 10-6. 10-6. And they can't even win 6 games in a season. So it's been, you know, remember they hired a lawyer, remember, to be the head coach for a while?
I thought he was an accountant, but he was a lawyer.
He was a lawyer. Sort of. And then that didn't work out because he was constantly doing paperwork on the sidelines. Guys would come in and go, "Well, I'm going to need you to sign off on this, and we're going to
not deductible."
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh no, we do. I think we're really going to have it. He was negotiating literally with the players that come in. I don't think you're going to be able to pass the ball on this particular play. That didn't work out. And then you got a guy sort of at the other end of his career who seemed to have lost interest in necessarily wanting to be a head coach in the NFL. But he had a storied career. And now you got a young guy who's got all these crazy ideas about offense. This could be very, very, very fun for Chicago. And we got a top draft pick quarterback. There are moments here. And then if Rokon ever shows up, I don't mean me, I mean him, we could really have something. All right, let's stop on this note. We'll talk to Ben Bradley in the WGN-TV, CLTV Newsroom coming up after. First, Ryan tells us what's coming up in the bottom of the hour news.
Yeah, another fake pot death in Cook County. We'll have that and more coming up with headlines from the WGN Radio Newsroom at 3:30.
Violetta? Yeah, I got a little Night Ranger for you right now. This is a Christian because I got Night Ranger tickets later on in the show. You can rip us off. 85 degrees at O'Hare.
Sister Christian, the time has come, and you know that you're the only one to say.
There you go.
Beautifully done. Cheesy radio guy.
Yeah.
Hits the post every time.
Yeah, kind of. He stepped on
a little bit.
Stepped on the Rangers right there. I do have Night Ranger. I don't know, Ben. I got Night Ranger tickets to give away. I don't know. Are you Night Ranger guy?
What's that number again? 591?
No. It's 981. It's now 312-981-7200. But I don't have them yet.
Okay.
I don't have them yet. That's coming up later on in the program.
They're going to stay close.
Silver Creek Event Center.
If there's a local phone outage, we'll know why.
Thank you. Silver Creek Event Center in Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo.
You look fabulous in pink, may I say.
Oh, thank you. I know you were talking to Ro.
I'm wearing
pink, too.
This is not pink. This is red, isn't it? Or does it look pink from a distance?
It's rosy red.
Yes. Rose very,
red.
Very summer, very like Lollapalooza about to get underway.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
Better wear
Perfect.
Something
well,
that breathes.
What I do, well, this is, okay. So you know what it is. All right. So here's
breathable fabrics. I like it.
I know you're going to find this a little hard to believe. I was a little behind today, and I was wearing my suit for the Windy City Live, and I had to kind of, briskly walk over to the Windy City Live studios from here, and by the time I got there, I was, I was a little moist, I'm not going to lie to you. So, and
happens
then
to all of us.
Then you get in the studio, and the studio's hot with the lights, and there's a little more moisture. Yeah. Remember going to the makeup artist going, are you going to survive this?
But once you start sweating, there's no stopping it.
There is no stopping it,
Now, am I the only one concerned with the WGN radio move from the Trib Tower north of the river to now south of the river there on Wacker Drive?
Mm-hmm.
Your whole Lollapalooza defense plan has gone to crap. Because I know you and I've talked about this over the years. Your plan was, if the loop gets overrun during Lala with, you know, sweaty and crazed out teenagers.
Yes.
You were going to call your guy at CDOT and just raise the Michigan Avenue Bridge to keep yourself secure.
That was the plan.
That was the plan. Actually, all the bridges. So we had to raise all the bridges all the way.
Then they can't get over to you.
Right.
Yeah. Right? All the Lollapalooza people stay on the other side.
Right. But now you're right there with them.
Well, we're up very high, though. We're able to kind of...
So he'll be up there with the hose, kind of hosing them down.
Yeah, well, we're not going to... First of all, they don't have shoes, so we're not going to let them
they can't
come
climb
up there without the shoes. Yeah. Right. I mean, that's part of the issue. Yeah. It is fun, man. The one thing you... after Lala lets out, which is the way we have to say it, it's going to be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, right? So...
Thursday starts Thursday.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Is there a Sunday?
There's a Sunday. It's a 4-day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So when it does let out at whatever 10 o'clock at night, there are so many stoned, hipsters.
Sure.
And you know, proto millennials. What's the one below the millennial? The man bun wearing guys that are, you know, they're sort of the you know, the hippie types. Yeah. They don't shave. They got a man bun. They're barely wearing
a
shirt.
Those are hipsters.
I think the man bun is actually a little older than the Lala crowd.
It's, I'm telling you, it,
Generation Z you're looking for.
They're walking around, and what my favorite thing to watch is when they get to Wacker and they get confused.
Yeah.
Is that they make a square on the red light, you know, like the walk.
Yeah.
They keep going around in a circle, not realizing it and thinking that they're moving forward.
Yeah.
Really
I just, if you've ever ridden Metra when Lala is underway, it is just a zoo. I mean, it is literally the suburbs empty out of everyone between the ages of 15 and 25, and they all come downtown.
Yeah, that's true. Yep.
And then they pour out into the neighborhoods, and they're all the after parties, and you know, you just don't know where you're going to run into.
Yeah.
What
good times?
Yeah, it is.
Good times.
Listen, they got a great. They always have a great lineup.
They do.
And then, yeah, and then Grand Park will be shut down for the rest of the year while they repair the grass.
If you can't beat them, join them, guys.
Are you going?
No.
Wow, even Violetta's aged out of Lala.
Oh, wait, hold on. No. No.
No, that was a no.
Yeah, you have to
no.
learn how to...
Speak Violetta.
To understand. You can tell, it's opposite day every day. So she should be the spokesperson
not.
For the White House. It's sort of like...
Sarah Sanders might be vacating the position.
Yeah, that would be perfect. It would be perfect. Sort of like, are you going? No.
They would just stop asking me questions.
No, I am not going to Lollapalooza. And then there's going to be like 6,000 Instagram posts from Lollapalooza.
Wait,
I was not here. No. Anything that her parents can't see. But if it's on
I've
the radio.
I block them from my Insta feed.
Mm. Yeah, so they won't know if you're there. But if you say it here, then they'll know you're there.
Yeah, that's it's too personal. The Insta feed, I realize, it's too personal for my parents to see.
No, you need a Finsta.
What's that?
The fake Instagram that all the kids
are
doing.
Oh, that seems like a lot of trouble.
Yeah, then you have to populate that, too, with the fun. With
and then you might get it mixed up, you know, in the late
right.
hours.
Yeah.
Of,
oh, yeah. Well, can you imagine?
It's not a secret thing if Ben knows about it, right?
Very true.
Yeah, I mean, Ben and I are...
people who have aged out of Lala.
Yeah, doughy, middle-aged white guys.
Hey, speak for yourself. I am not doughy.
Okay.
Oh. You guys are just
although, oh wait, somebody just from the background of the newsroom yelled, yes, you are.
Yeah.
Oh wait, so I got to tell you a quick story. So we're in an Uber. We called an Uber from the suburbs to come down to the city to go out on a boat this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
This guy pulls up in a BMW, like a very nice car that we didn't pay for. We go to put the cooler in the back. It's four of us.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy goes, oh, no. He looks straight at me and goes, I'm not putting that much weight in my car. Got in the Uber and took off, left us there on the lawn.
Oh, wow. Just because of your cooler?
How big
was the cooler?
Molly's like, I think it was the cooler. I go, no, I think I just got fat shamed. He was looking at me. Lourdes just came out of her office yelling, it happened, because she was with us on the boat. Yeah.
Oh,
it happened. My.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Yes, I've been fat shamed by an Uber driver.
I think it was actually the cooler.
And now you call me doughy.
Yeah,
I'm not eating for the rest of the
day. You look good, Ben. Yeah.
Put on your cutoff jeans and a halter and get to Lala. No one's going to say
and
that.
Your man bun. You got to get a man bun.
Can you do a fake man bun?
Yeah,
do they sell those
artist.
Online somewhere?
Yeah, we just get a little hair extension.
Okay.
You do the, you know, get one of the.
Perfect.
You know.
And I'll wear your peach shirt.
It's not. It's red.
It's all really right, not.
All
it's
right,
rosy.
What is coming up at the. What's coming up? I don't even want to talk to you people anymore. Ben, that's yours. What's coming up on your news?
Oh, I thought you were going to Violetta. So we're covering the story at Wrigley Field at the Foo Fighters concert. Mm-hmm. A woman says that she was in line when she got groped, and then she went into a porta potty and says that she was raped inside that porta potty the concert.
About they the same person, is she saying, or is this two separate incidents?
We believe so. And we think the guy followed her into the porta potty. Police are now stepping up security. Our Sean Lewis is on that story. Also, we've got a live interview at 4 o'clock. Have you heard? We're going to be the closest to Mars in 15 years.
Yes.
You're going to be able to see it with the naked eye tonight. We're going to go live to the Adler Planetarium. Demetrius Ivory is going to geek out on the air.
Oh, yeah. No, this is super cool.
I love this.
I've been staring at this for weeks now because it didn't just show up for this.
No.
This is the closest day right now.
Right, but the last couple of days have been pretty good viewing.
It's been amazing.
So we've got everything you need to know, and we will tell you whether or not Skilling will cry about it coming up.
All right. Thank you very much, Ben.
Yep.
Appreciate it. I'll tell him you said that. All right. We've got right now, this second, Ryan Burrow standing by with the WGN News, brought to you by AppleChevy.com. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here, 720 WGN, and here's our guy.
Willie Wilson.
I've been behind Willie Wilson on every single one of his campaigns.
Amen.
Yes. And I would like to say that, and I wanted to be his running mate when he was running for president. That didn't work out for either of us. Now, but I have to say that I have noticed in seriousness here a number of people who, you know, have been sort of, you know, rumored to be in the race here are not going to be in the race. Obviously, you're going to self fund in the mayoral race. And I'm telling people with all seriousness that I think you're going to be there at the end of this thing. So, and I think that's a name that people, your name is not one that in the lips of most Chicago voters, you know, is like, well, Willie Wilson, who is he? Right?
They know me out this week here.
Yes. So true. So, I mean, let's just talk about it. So what is really behind it? So you're out, you went out, obviously you were handing out money the weekend before this one, when you went to the church, and then you have a bunch of people jumping up and saying, hey, wait, that's like paying for votes, that's electioneering. First of all, why are you doing it? What's your response to that?
Well, my response is this. I've been doing it the last 25, 30 years. Look, last time I gave $150,000, $200,000, the last four tax period.
Last 4 years?
Yeah, uh-huh. Didn't nobody been saying nothing about it. We bailed people out of jail, the whole nine yard.
Right, I knew that.
We give about $1 million a year to churches and outreach program, and we give about $300,000, maybe a little bit more, to people on the street that want food to eat. Those people sleeping on the street, I doubt they even vote. And I never have asked anybody to vote for me on something that I have did for them.
So when you hear people say you're buying votes, what do you say to that?
They need to go down to Northwest Hospital and see a doctor.
Well, all right, so $300,000 you give away on the street. How do you do that? Do you just, you have people that go out and do it? You do it? How do you
do
it?
No, I do it. See, I never pass nobody up, ever. Unless there's a car behind me or something like that, I don't want to cause an accident. They got a sign up.
Yeah, somebody's like on the roadway or whatever.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And then down on Wacker here, where I live right here, down on Wacker down there. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then like shelters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like last Sunday, it was like 200 women from a shelter, you know, there. And then a week before then, I gave away, I'm in the sanitary napping business, I gave away $400,000. Women's in a shelter and Cook County Jail.
Right.
And then when I see somebody, whenever I see somebody in Rome, at the Vatican, people on the street, I give them money there. In the United States, I give them California, Washington.
How much money do you give per time?
Or per year?
Most time be about $100.
Like a $100 bill?
Yeah, For example, if you walk from here 3 or 4 block, you can probably have 6, 7, 8, 10 people.
Yeah,
that
sure. True.
You're gonna have to give money to, and I do that. If anybody had a secret camera and see me walk the street, and drive my car, I live to do this stuff.
I believe that because people have cited that when no cameras are rolling, you do this
and
it's part of your DNA. You're very charitable
and
you give. It's just when you're running for mayor, there people thought, well, hey, there's a problem with that, but you're just saying this is who you are, right?
Well, right. It's a problem with them. They give out turkeys when they get rid of Ron from here.
Oh, they give a lot of things.
They give a lot of things. Incumbents especially.
They give out land.
Yeah, I joked about this last week, which was the Cook County Democratic Party has been paying people to go to the polls for 100 years.
Absolutely
right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So this is not exactly a new thing.
And if you think about incumbents giving out political favors, I mean, that's been the part of this city for decades, for generations.
But what am I supposed to do? Let people starve to death? Because, look, running for office, but somebody hungry. We gave away, we helped about 2,000 people Sunday, right?
Yeah.
That we gave check to. After we gave out the check, I knew there were people coming in out the street, but I brought extra $40,000 in my pocket. They came in off the street. I gave them $50 and $100 bills until we gave it out. All right? But those people, they sleep on the street. Some is not on the street, but not one time did I ask anybody to vote for me. We preached a message on that Sunday.
Okay, so all right, so let's talk about that part for a second, because you and I have talked a number of times in the past, so I kind of know about your backstory. I think most people don't, though, who are being introduced to you now.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? Because you grew up very, 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 very poor. Right. And you started, you worked at a McDonald's, and then you worked your way up through the McDonald's business to eventually become a McDonald's owner operator and a very successful one. And that's been your path, right?
Yes,
and it's been decades on that path. What is the motivating factor for you? Is it a memory of being hungry as a child? Is it your devotion to God? What is it that does it?
Well, it's a little bit both, but I think the biggest thing was this. We made 20 cents per hour down south, sharecropper. And we always had food, but it was maybe just bread by itself, right?
You remember that from your childhood?
Oh, yes, yes. Mm. And when we would have, and they call them molasses here, but we call them cert down south, all right? And we would take the bread and put it into some warm water, and whatever little sugar we had, we call it sugar water. Mm-hmm. And when we would have meat, we had to go fishing, all right? And so we would borrow from our neighbor. And then the next week, we had to pay it back to our neighbor. We share to one another. And so when I come to Chicago, I consider Chicago, Rome, Paris, wherever it may be at, that all those still my family. Because we were raised that way. And ain't no way in the world I could walk by somebody if I got money in my pocket and they're hungry and they need something. I'm not going to judge them. I would give it to them. If one of you all right now on the street and I didn't know you, even if I knew you, like I know you all now, I wouldn't walk past you. If I got money in my pocket, I'm going to give it to you. Because everybody who maybe looked like they have money or thought they have money, a lot of people don't have money.
Mm-hmm.
But it ain't for me to judge. So I give. It's a DNA. And my other thing is that, look, I'm a Baptist. I have my religion and my faith, too. Yeah. You know? But the bigger thing is here. If I don't do it, who else going to do it?
All right. So let's talk about what's happening Wednesday. You're going down to the county building, right? And that's on the people need to understand this. That's on the Clark Street side.
That's right.
The Clark Street side,
not
the LaSalle Street side.
That's true.
Clark Street side.
Very confusing.
Yeah, and you are going to be handing out money for people's for tax, because of property taxes.
Property taxes,
yeah,
right?
They're nuts. I was going to ask you for a few bucks myself. This is
the guy.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think that's the spirit of Willie Wilson's giving. Okay,
no, but it is.
Rokhan, no, it's not a charity.
Listen to him, Atlanta, please. Let him get the money.
All right, I won't stand for it.
All right, so you're gonna be, how much are you giving out?
Well, right now we slated for $150,000, but. Here's what. Let me tell you how that happened. We gave about 2,000 people helping, but somebody sent my Facebook, and they said, we see all this stuff on Facebook. Where are the white people? I said, you know, you got a point. I said, okay. So when I was on show the other day, and I said, well, you know what? I said, they got a point. So I said, I tell you what. And John Caps on and talked to him, and he said, I said, look, the first, get 100 Caucasian. And I'm going to give $500 a piece towards their property taxes.
Okay. To, this, yeah, all right. This, where do we find 100? I mean, I know where to find 100 white people probably in this building, but where
put their hands
where,
out.
But where? But is this part of what's going to happen on Wednesday? Are we going to have...
Well, we're going to have Wednesday this. We got people calling in, all right? So we got a lot of them, all right? A lot of them. So, but then after I did, then I said, well, what about the Asian and Latina? I did 100 of those. Mm-hmm. Then I said, okay, I'm going to get another 100, make it African-American. So that's 300 people. I'm going to give them all who bring their taxes to $500 a piece course their particular taxes. Today, we over a lot of people just call in, and we get their tax stuff, and then they bring it down there. We get their ID once they come there. And then we'll pass them out on second floor. Maria Papp is helping us with that.
Right.
And that's what we're going to do coming up this coming week. But they had a point. I wouldn't pay no attention to it because I should give to everybody an idea, regardless of color.
Well, were you doing it? Well, you were doing it in you were in primarily African American churches doing it, right? So I mean, that's
I was, but still no excuse.
I don't understand what the argument is here, other than I mean, it would be more of a geographic area, right?
Well, yeah, but I should have reached out. I should have did a better job. I should have took then did what I did now.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Went into the community, went to some of the shelters and things like that nature,
mm-hmm.
and they said, hey, here, you need some help and support.
Yeah.
And I should have did it.
Right.
Now, today I got a call from somebody from a shelter, said they got some shelter and got some Caucasian females there. And I said, I tell you what, next Sunday I'm helping about 400 senior citizens with some food, have them all come over there.
Matt, can I ask a serious question about if you're running for mayor? So mm-hmm. I guess my question would be what you're doing. God bless what you're doing because you're helping people. And I have no doubt in my mind that means a lot when you hand people some money to try to pay those bills that they're sweating about trying to keep their family mm-hmm. just, you know, going. That helps. But if you become mayor, I think that would be a Band-Aid solution. You can't toss out money to everybody, right? You'd have to come up with solutions to try to bring property taxes down and bring the city's unfunded pensions under control and all kinds of things. I mean, that is a serious financial nightmare, Willie. I mean, what would you do with that?
Well, that's why I'm running for mayor. And I have to correct you on one thing. It's when I become mayor.
I like how you think. Well, I'm never going to doubt you.
I tell you something? We now know anything can happen. And quite honestly, no one is getting no one's got putting, none of these other people are putting a smile on people's face.
No, that's
and
true.
Willie is. That's and that true. Might actually mean something. But Anna's question is a good one. I mean,
I'm going to tell you how to do that. I'm going to tell you how to do that.
All right.
I'm a business man. Okay. I balance my budget with my own money. Ron Emanuel can't balance a budget with the taxpayer money, but he keep raising taxes, all right? I would simply do this. First of all, get the management right, because this money in Chicago is mismanaged, all right? Just a couple points. I will open up here again, the casino, Hammond and Anna over there,
mm-hmm.
$1 billion a year, put one right here on Navy Pier somewhere, mm-hmm. whatever it is.
Downtown somewhere.
Downtown. Take those tax dollars. Put them into the system, the school system, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
I would legalize marijuana, you know, keep people
recreational out of marijuana so you could buy it in stores, legalize licensed stores
and pay your taxes on it. Mm-hmm. Look what happened out west.
Colorado.
I would take those dollars, put it into the system as well.
Mm-hmm.
I would open back up Mag Field, $500 million.
So he's got my vote already.
You know?
That guy would not have had to have landed on Lakeshore Drive if Megsfield were still open. That's all I'm going to say.
Great point.
Yeah.
We would do that, all right? I would keep them taxing down, try to lower them, because the people that in the city of Chicago is going in there and I'm buying gas, buying eggs and milk. You're right. Running people out.
It's true on the south side. That's absolutely true.
Yeah. Look, you know, who pays our taxes? I don't like taxes, all right? Now, you and I and all of us here we can afford to pay our taxes, all right?
Mm-hmm.
But there are people out there don't even have a 25 cents or a dollar to get downtown Chicago from the west side.
No, you hear stories about people who have to pay parking tickets and they make a choice between that and the food.
Well, I would not boot somebody's cars and keep them from getting to work.
Right. You
know? So all these things would change. You need a mayor that have compassion on people that been through things. I'll cut down the violence by making sure that the dollars is reflected into all 7-7 community economically.
We can talk about this more. We're just trying to keep you out of jail through Wednesday, and then we'll worry about the mayoral specifics, you know, in the next few weeks or months or whatever. I just want to make sure that nobody decides that they're like, hey, he's. And I mean, I don't know what they can charge you with campaign anything, but it is. Maria Papp is going to be there, so it's all going to be good.
I want y'all watching me down there now. All right,
we will. Well, we're going to watch.
Just be safe out there, Willie. I gotta say that people all over the country are talking about this because it really is. I mean, it is. I was thinking about this last night because knowing that you know we were going to ask you to come on today, and thank you for doing this. But I was like, all right, so what? I'm trying to think of all of the. I don't know. You know, ultimately, I'm going to take you at your word that this is all about benevolence and this is about who you really are because we've known each other for a while and you have a great heart.
Mm-hmm.
But it is the best publicity stunt I have seen a politician do in a really long time. So either way, you're getting everybody's attention. All right, now there's a line outside right now for people who in the building.
They have their hands out, Willie. Watch out.
What time are you doing this on Wednesday?
They're going to be down at 10 o'clock.
10 a.m.?
10 a.m. Wednesday at Maria Papp's office. I think that's on the Clark side.
Clark Street side, yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And come down, we got a second floor. Now, the checks and things, we pretty much wrote the 300 check. 90% of them we already got written out.
To people who've already requested?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay.
And so there's a lot of people doing that, so we're going to do it there. And we're going to continue to give as long as I'm not breaking any laws.
Right.
I will continue to do it.
Which you've been clear. I mean, at this point, lawyers have already come out since last week and said, no, there's...
We haven't heard anything. Yeah. Didn't violate any campaign rules. Have you consulted with lawyers, though, over this, Willie? Are you covered there?
I have not, because I just figured, look, I can figure myself. Ain't a law giving away your own money, your work. It should be a law about arresting Ron Emanuel in the politician about raising these people property taxes. That's what it should be a law there.
Yeah, it's giving away the public's money that's a problem. Yeah. It's giving away his own money.
Yeah.
And very few humans have worked as hard for their money as he has.
That's true. So, success story.
I never, ever been in no problem with the law. Never, ever. I've never been in jail. Never don't want to go there.
Right.
Who does? Nothing like that.
You have to help bail people out. You've done that.
Well, yeah, but I wouldn't get my own stuff out.
Yeah, I understand that. No, I get it. No, but my point is, you're kind of the opposite of that. So
yeah.
All right. Well, I'm with you on this. I just don't want anything. I'm just concerned about the now. What? I think you're going to be a real threat to the mayor here and a real threat to the establishment. And when that does actually happen, stuff gets serious. I don't think they're taking you seriously yet, but when you start to amass crowds, as you have been doing, that changes things, you know? And I think that it's going to be an interesting thing here. You can come back and talk about policy. We just got to get you through Wednesday.
The foundation's website, though, in case people would like to go to it.
Look, I like people to donate to my website. All right, WillieWilsonFoundation.com.
.com or .org?
.com.
Okay.
Now we'll take those dollars. WillieWilsonFoundation.com.
Now, Bruce Rohner, I know I'm very late here, but it's this is a man of God.
Yes,
he's actually dressed like God today.
He looks like an angel.
All in white. Yeah.
I wish I was in heaven.
We all do.
Doesn't it feel like that being with us?
Bruce Rohner, very quickly. Bruce Rohner, you know, has been critical of you because he gave money to your foundation. Doesn't like the fact that you're giving it out. He thinks it's political. What do you say to him?
If Bruce wanted money back, I'll write a check today and give it back to him.
All right. Fair enough. All right. I'm going to leave that with me. I'll make sure he gets it. All right, Willie. Thank you very much. Willie Wilson, maybe the next mayor of the city of Chicago.
No, not maybe. Will be.
All right. Willie will be. I like that.
That's not bad.
I think we just did something right there. All right. We've got coming up. I'm way late here, so I apologize to CLTV and everybody for this. But stand by. Everybody stand by. Let's find out right now from Ryan what's coming up at the top of the hour.
President Trump angling for another historic meeting. We'll have that and more coming up at 4 p.m.
Deal. All right, I did, for the record.
Okay.
I think Tom Skilling needs to know this.
Mm-hmm.
says Tom can be my witness.
Because
whenever I do any kind of legal paperwork that I sign, I have Tom come over.
That's
and witness
right.
It.
He comes off very honest and knowledgeable. I would trust Tom to do that.
Yeah. Sometimes he attests my golf scorecard.
Sure,
that's how we do it.
Yeah.
Anyway, the point is. That I did not take any money from Willie Wilson, nor did I allow anybody on the staff to take money from Willie Wilson when he was just
not
there.
Even Violetta.
Not even Violetta, right. But...
But what?
But I am here to tell you something. I know you think this is crazy, because I told Willie he was crazy when he was running for president and he wanted to run for governor and all those other things, right, that he's done. But in this particular case, I honest to God think that he's got a shot here. I think that Willie Wilson is now, for the first time, going to be a name that people are going to be paying attention to through the mayoral election cycle, because he's the only one who's making any kind of headlines, and people like him. And I know it sounds crazy. It does sound crazy, but he is a businessman. He's incredibly successful. He's got this great track record, and he's likable. He's sort of like he's got the same portfolio as Donald Trump, but he's nice.
Well, in this world where you hear people revolt against politicians because they don't seem to be on our side or the people's side, he seems to be someone who's truly rooted in fighting for the people, helping the people, doing what's right for everyone. I just think, you know, there are a lot of tough things you have to deal with once you become mayor.
And just when you stop and think, nothing that can possibly happen, it does.
I know, sometimes
so
that happens.
So that can happen. By the way, Tom is being brought to us by Permaseal Basement System. That happens as well. All right.
Okay.
So anyway, so that I need you to witness that, and then we just move along.
Well, this is quite an announcement. I listen seriously. I think most of us do to Ro Khan's takes on these things. You're well informed. So that's an interesting observation.
It is. I think he's going to be there. I think he's got as good a shot to make it to the final two.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if he wins if he's in the final two, but I think he makes it to the final two. I honestly do. Because I don't think there's a lot of demographics and math involved in this.
Yes.
That's beyond my comprehension. But
you got a crowded field fighting to be in the final two.
Right.
You guys make it sound like it's a reality show.
Well,
it is.
You can get to the end of The Voice. If you can just get to the last episode.
But Ryan, it is now. I mean, we've turned our entire world into something that we no longer see ourselves in a mirror. We see ourselves in a screen, right? We have now put ourselves in the movie, because that's what we do with our phones. That's how we live our life. Everything we see, our reality has changed. There's one separation now between our reality and ourselves, unless we are sick. That's the only time that we feel anything anymore, I believe, as a society.
Well, it's a different world, that's for sure.
Yeah.
We've seen things happen in the last decade and last several years that we never would have believed. So
this is
true.
Deep for a Monday.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's kind of true.
It is true.
Violetta, were you ready for this?
Yeah, she had her hand out.
She's
ready for it.
I need some money for property taxes. I don't have a property yet, but, you know, forward thinking.
Well. Willie seemed to have worked that out, though. You know, that was one of the things. He was just going to give away this money. I thought, well, what if people show up without property? But they've already written the checks for people who needed money for their property. This is actually more thought out than I thought it
people
was.
People applied for some of these spots, and then he did give out $100 bills to some other people just
how about
on
that?
The spot.
He walks down the street. Did you hear this, Tom? He walks down the street, and anybody who comes up tomorrow, he drives by somebody who's got a sign, he gives them $100.
And I believe him. He says he doesn't pass by a single person.
Wow.
I believe that about
him.
That's
very interesting.
Just, you know, very
generous.
But
is he also helping people lower their property taxes?
I mean, they can't do that yet.
He doesn't have that power yet.
No, but I'm saying, like, with assistance of setting him up with...
A lawyer?
Right, lawyers or whoever can
you mean
work
like,
on.
You mean, like, Mike Madigan's firm or Ed Burke's firm or things like that? Those guys are going to help you with your property taxes?
Those guys. Are they just more for the richer people?
A lot people do lower their own property taxes.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
there are ways to do
that. Yeah, there are ways to do it.
Now, wait a minute.
Now than there used
expand
to be.
On that now. That's interesting.
Well, you can hire a lawyer to, you know.
I see. Well, that's, to challenge the assessment or something like that.
Right?
Yeah.
And there's always been this rumor. I don't know it to be true, but there's always a rumor that if you hire certain firms, you got a better shot than other firms. But you know, I think now that the assessor's office seems to be in a...
better place?
Well, a changing moment. I would say it's a changing moment.
Mm-hmm. I think that's fair.
There could be some different people in the assessor's office. We'll have to see how this works.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. You saw Ed Burke, the chairman's group, decided they were not going to be working with the Trump properties anymore to do tax work for them. They backed off of that for political reasons. But before that, they were.
Does it seem right to you? I'm just going to ask this question.
Mm-hmm. Put it out there?
Yeah, I'm just going to put it out there. Does it seem right to you that the people who write the taxes also have private businesses that allow their clients to try to appeal their tax burden?
No.
Does that seem right
it
to you?
Absolutely.
Categorically
seems wrong.
Not.
Okay, there's
wrong,
a categorical.
Wrong,
I like that. A categorical no from Tom Skilling.
Absolutely.
No, it's wrong.
That's a talk about a conflict, a built in conflict of interest.
Yeah, one would think that.
Yeah.
But we do it here.
Yeah.
That's I was explaining this to a friend today about the mayor, about what the you know, we're now learning about the power of the president in ways that we never kind of thought about.
Right.
I thought that wasn't really the president wasn't as powerful as he is. Well, he is. You know who the most powerful people in maybe America politically? The mayor and the aldermen of Chicago. The aldermen have an ability in Chicago. Within their ward, they have final determination of just about anything. You want to build a building? They got to say yes. It doesn't go to a committee. It does. It goes to there's a building committee, but it also goes to the alderman for the final okay, who can say, no, I don't want that. You want to open a business? The alderman can go, no, I don't want that. I mean, they have so much power.
They do.
And it's not a democratic kind of concept. It's not it's not you can go appeal to some other board to go, the alderman's wrong. They have final say. I mean, it is, and the mayor here, oh my God, you can give the money that you can, like, there are no campaign finance rules in Chicago. That's another crazy thing here. It is amazing about how much money, that gets poured into this in ways. And then you wonder, well, who's to benefit from it?
Right. And you saw the Tribune investigation, speaking of property taxes, that a third of the property taxes were routed into mayor-controlled funds, TIF districts, which was a little surprising because it was more than people originally thought. So you sort of take these enormous amounts of money and you put it in these areas where the mayor has so much unchecked control over where that money goes.
I will say this, though. That one thing about Mayor Emanuel, or Rahm Emanuel, I will say, that is different, I think, than the last number of mayors and over the years. He did change the dynamic of the nobody wants nobody, nobody sent.
He did, yes.
To now, it's there's a lot of people that the old people who would send don't get their people in to get a piece of the action. He's got a lot of nobodies, nobody sent, but he might know those nobodies. I'm sorry to speak Chicago to you like this.
I know.
True Chicagoans understand exactly
they
what
do.
I just said.
We do.
If you're driving through on 294, just trying to get up to Wisconsin, you're like, what is this guy talking about?
What does that mean?
Just go with me.
I'll tell you, Mr. Cotton, you came out with all guns blazing today.
It's something. Well, I just think it's interesting because
it
I think
is.
Willie Wilson is, we live in a time of great political change and upheaval, and
we do.
I think we are going to be seeing more of it.
Oh, I totally agree with you on that. How about the threat to shut down the government today? I guess that's
the least of the threats he made today. He's trying to get all the people in the press killed now too. I don't know. It's like this is a crazy moment. I'll just say this. And this is Monday at 4:22.
Okay.
Oh, get ready, Anna. This is to be historic.
I'm not sure I'm going to like what I hear, but
I know.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm racing.
All right. We're waiting.
The amount of activity today over the weekend and today on Twitter and all that. I mean, just the fact that he went off on Twitter about Robert Mueller personally, went off about the press personally and all that. They seem to be seeding the ground for something here. And you got Giuliani running on all the morning shows talking about, well, even if there is collusion, what's collusion? It's not against the law.
Not a crime.
I don't even know. Even if they colluded, even if they got some help, what? Ah, who cares?
So where do you think this is going, Will?
I think you're going to see indictments within the next week or two.
Oh.
And they might be closer.
Close to the president?
Closer to the president.
Yeah. Wow. So you think they have they've gotten wind of this? Or
Oh, for sure.
I would think they would have some information.
They're behaving in a way like and this is the other piece of the algorithm, I think, that's important.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't hysteria at the networks about what he's doing, about the stuff he's saying. there's, you know, there's coverage of it, but there isn't this outrage. People are keeping their powder dry this week. So I'm starting to wonder if there is a whispering campaign in Washington that this is coming. Everybody prepare for it, because, you know, the networks do get all the networks, all the, you know, from Fox News to CNN to
sure,
MSNBC,
they talk to
ABC,
people
NBC,
behind
CBS.
The scenes. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
They get them prepared. They won't tell them exactly what it is or what it is, but be prepared for this coming here. And it's important based on who's telling them what it is. And I have a sense that, because when it gets quiet, you know, it's quiet, too quiet.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
That's, I got a thought.
Well,
it's now 4:24 on Monday, and I'd say that by the end of the week.
Wow.
Wow, you think by the end of the week?
I think so, yeah.
All right, Ro. Well, it will be interesting to
just
watch.
Saying that there's something, I can feel something in the air.
Yeah, you've got your finger on the pulse of these things. So
that's what it is.
Be very interesting.
Yes, and Willie Wilson will be the next mayor of Chicago. Well, you don't have to necessarily take everything.
Boy, the news that has been made in the last 5 minutes here.
Listen, I told you Trump was going to win a month out. I told you
Nobody
believed me.
You did to him, I think.
I kept screaming at Anna. And
he did.
I had this computer screen that I would turn around to her position over here. And I would show her the map, and I'd scream and cry. And
no, you did. It was 538, that thing, and you were analyzing their data. And it would say with different states and where everything was and the plus or minus four or the plus or minus three. And you're like, look, if he does this and this and this, this is his path. And sure enough.
They claim, though, that things are changing. You know, there are some changes among the base that
the blue wall
put him in. Yeah.
The old blue wall that crumbled. Yeah, but you know what? It's a long way. 2020 is a long way
off. It's a long way off. And I, you know what? After what's gone on, do any of us trust our instincts anymore?
No. How about that? How about that?
That's a good point.
Take that to, you know, forget about just in politics. It's sort of like you're not even quite sure what you're looking at anymore.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we are sort of blinded at this moment. All right, before we get to that, you know, we can put that aside because that's going to go on forever.
Yes.
Can we talk about the weather here first?
Sure.
Can we talk about these wildfires in California?
Oh.
They're creating their own atmospheric conditions out there.
Well, what is going on around the hemisphere is pretty extraordinary. I mean, you think about it. We've got drought in the UK, fires in Scandinavia, fires in Siberia, record heat in Japan, followed by flooding. They're flooding actually followed by record heat the other way around. There are anomalies going on that's pretty interesting. And it isn't just the fact it's all being covered. There's no question our numbers on this planet mean that we're more affected by these weather extremes, but this is really interesting, and it's tragic. What's going on out in California? That tape from that grandfather.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Heartbreaking.
It is heartbreaking.
You know, journalistically, I'm very uncomfortable with that tape.
Really?
Really.
Yeah. It makes you feel uncomfortable that he's just in a very vulnerable time.
Yeah, he lost his wife and his grandkids, and he tells a story about his grand. If you haven't seen this tape, about the grandkids crying and, you know, grandpa, get to me.
Onto the phone at the last, up to the last minute. It's
too much.
It is too much. And they keep showing it. And the problem is they show it because, I mean, it's a great personal tragedy. And it is news in the sense of...
Well, it humanizes it.
It makes people care about
the
wildfires.
I'll tell you one thing. I think we so often hear about fatalities in these extremes and all. But when you hear something like that, I mean, that really brings it down to the human level.
So true. But I do think it takes advantage of this personal individual's tragedy in
it's
a way.
It's hard to listen to that.
You know, crying, screaming family members I've never been comfortable with. I understand the story. Humans understand the story.
Yeah.
You don't have to necessarily profit from their overwrought reaction to it.
I hear you.
And I don't like that.
Yeah. It does seem like there's been a change in the approach toward that, doesn't there, in the last
decade
or two?
I would say that's fair.
It used to be that that was totally off base, off limits, talking to a loved one who's just lost to somebody. But it seems like the approach to that has changed, doesn't it?
Well, having covered these things before, you often find that people, and I know this sounds strange, but people will come out of their homes who lost a loved one and talk to you and want to talk to you. And, you know, all you can do is counsel them, say, hey, this is going to be on air. It is going to be broadcast. We just want to make sure you know that. And I you've seen it before that people will say, I know. I want people to know this.
You know, Anna, and there can be very legitimate different thoughts on that. The one thing it does is it adds a human dimension to the numbers that we hear that are so cold and objective and lack humanity.
That's true.
This one's a little hard, though.
This one is. I would say this one's really hard because he's painful.
Not in control of his emotions. He's crying and telling the story, and you can feel exactly. Yeah, everybody would have that moment of, oh my God, this, you know, how you have, when you lose control like that and you can't go and save somebody's life and they're begging you to save their life and you can't physically get there to do it.
No.
And you cannot imagine a more horrifying human. It's a nightmarish experience.
It is.
And yet, but showing it every 20 minutes and then teasing it coming up. This guy's reaction, I'm uncomfortable.
See, I haven't watched the coverage of it. I heard it driving in, and that's the first I'd heard. I don't know how this is being handled, but if that's going on all the time, I hear you, Roe. Yeah.
All right, Tom.
Well, about the weather, it's going to get hot. That's the big news. 14 beautiful days. It's comfortable and lovely, and will be for a couple more days. But, boy, is it dry. Do you know this is the driest July in 77 years around here?
Wow, after having a really wet May, right?
We had this crazy wet May. We had flooding and all the rest, and here we've cycled to...
you said this was going to happen. You said that there's a connection between those two things.
Yeah, it's interesting, and it makes it easier to warm up when you don't have wet soil. I noticed on the latest drought monitor, they have west central Illinois in an area of severe drought. And this extends back into Missouri. So, but some of that western heat's going to slosh eastward, so we'll feel that Friday.
All right. Oh, right in time for Lala.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, and the humidity's coming with it, too. So.
Yeah. You're going to want to stay off your... what's the stuff that they take that makes them get hot already?
Molly.
Right. You have to stay off the Molly.
Hey, is this when they start burying their alcohol in the field?
Yeah, I already did. I buried a bunch of bottles of vodka, and then I'm going to sell the locations, the GPS locators, to
you
people.
You should create an app for that.
Just like Pokemon for vodka.
For vodka.
Lala Vodka. Yeah, perfect. Lala right, Vodka.
Well, that's what you don't want to do that. You don't want to drink if you're trying to stay cool.
Yeah, I know. Tell that to the kids.
But he's a capitalist, and he's trying to make money. Okay, Tom?
I hear you.
All right?
Yeah.
Thank you, Tom.
See you guys.
All right, goodbye.
Bye.
All right, we will talk to you tomorrow. All right, let's find out right now what's happening at the bottom of the hour news, right?
Chicagoans not really warm to the city ID cards. That coming up.
Okay, Violetta. Brokaw Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Yes.
Steve Stone on baseball, brought to you by Let Us Entertain You Restaurants, and here he is.
I think it'll be Shaw's tonight, folks. I think that's probably a good plan on this and off day. We don't get many of these, so a nice dinner to be had, and that'll probably do it.
Within 24 hours of you saying go to Shaw's, I go to Shaw's. It's sort of like an Obi-Wan Kenobi move. Like, you will go to Shaw's and you will enjoy it, and then I do. And that it just happens within 48 hours.
Well, that's good. Very nice.
It's one of the great traditions, too, in this town. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like one of the, it's got that room where you walk into, there's two rooms at Shaw's.
The fancy room.
The one downtown. You got the sort of the fancy one that you feel like you're at the Brown Derby in Los Angeles in 1948.
Yeah.
And then they've got that, you know, really cool kind of New Orleans bar.
Live music.
Yeah, with live music. And you know,
Zydeco music or some jazz band.
An oyster bar. It's really, that's great.
The best.
Very nice.
It's a, you know what, and it's a good, like, you know, people, you know, it's been there forever. It's steady. It is steady.
Mm-hmm.
That's the nice thing about
always
it.
Always packed.
All right. Okay. Well, now let's talk a little bit about this moment here. You got an off day. What are your thoughts right now in terms of what we should be looking for as you head into August, you head into September? You're going to have some people coming up now in September from the minors. What should White Sox fans be excited about? What should they be going to the ballpark for?
Well, I think one of the things is to take a look at the progress of some of the young guys who appear to be the guys that they're going to use for building blocks. And I say appear because you never really know who's going to want some of the guys that you believe are your future, and are you a better team after you decide to move them. And I'm not telling you any of these guys are going to be moved, because it doesn't appear they're the kind of guys who do get moved at the trade deadline, which, as we know, is a very short time from now. But I'm talking about probably the emergence and maybe the guys taking the next step Tim Anderson, for one, defensively has really turned things around. He's starting to play really solid shortstop, and occasionally you can see the flashes of the bat that's going to be. I think he's going to be a huge factor. I think this is just the start of what could be a very strong offensive player. I think he can do a lot of things. Anytime you can combine the ability to hit the ball out of the ballpark and steal as many bases as he can, I think you've got yourself an exciting player, and Tim is going to be one of those. I think Yoan Moncada has gotten better during the course of the season. Everybody would like to see him be a Mike Trout type of player, but he's still very young, and he doesn't have what Trout had at his age. And one of the reasons is that Mike Trout didn't have to assimilate into a society that he didn't know a great deal about. Mike Trout was from New Jersey, and yes, some would say, yes, it is a society he doesn't know much about, but
that being said,
he's come on, and you know, he's one of the true stars of our game, and you're not going to see the like of him too often. But Moncada has made some strides during the course of the season. He's played a better defense lately. I think Ricky Renteria probably got across to him that was one of the areas of his game he'd have to pick up the concentration and the focus, because the skills are there. You can tell the hands are good enough, and he's got a strong enough arm, and he moves real well. He made just a fantastic play in the field yesterday. To go with a bat that is getting a bit better, I think we're seeing with more right-handed bats, we've seen the right-handed stroke come along to try to even match what he's done from the left side, which has been pretty good. So you look at a guy that probably can hit 25 home runs and steal 30 bags or 35 bags. Moncada can do that. Anderson can certainly do that. So it looks like if these guys continue to do what they've done, which is pick up the middle infield play, they're going to be a real exciting double play combination for a lot of years to come. Then, with the configuration of this ball club, you would think, at least until proven otherwise, that Jose Abreu would stay with the White Sox because he means so much to this ball club in the clubhouse with the young Latino players. And he's a guy that you can look at and say, look, this is the way you do it. This is how to be a professional player. Just do what Jose Abreu does every day, and you guys are going to be in good shape. And because of the proliferation of young Latino players in not only the major league roster, but the organization, I think we're seeing a need for a player like Abreu, and why not Jose? Let him stay around. He is the guy that everybody respects. He goes about his business professionally. Yeah, you'd like to see a few more points on the batting average or a couple more home runs and runs batted in, but he's just starting to feel it now, and I expect the last couple of months of the season will be very productive for Jose. So those two guys especially. And then, you know, take a look. Maybe Nicky Delmonico, coming back off a broken finger, maybe he can show enough offensive punch to be in the mix, because he's a left-handed bat. The Sox certainly need left-handed difference makers, and Nicky hasn't had enough at-bats right now since coming back off a DL to fully judge what he can do, but he is starting to hit the ball out of the ballpark, and he's picked up a triple or so on the way, so that's pretty good. You have to respect what he's done coming back off the DL, so he's one of the guys to take a look at. And other guys have pieces that you might need. For instance, if this becomes a really good team, they already have the two really good swingmen in Leury Garcia and Yolmer Sanchez. These guys ideally wouldn't be starting for a team that's in contention for postseason play, but they would certainly be great contributors. You're going to need players like them when you get good, so you have them already. You don't have to go out and look for guys like Yolmer and Leury. They can do a lot of different things. They swing the bat from both sides of the plate. They swing it well. In the case of Leury, he's got great speed. He's got a very strong arm. Yolmer has a great baseball acumen. So those guys, to me, would be worthwhile to keep around until you get to the point where they can be your fourth outfielder, your fifth infielder. Those are the ideal situations for both of those guys. And so those are the things that I would look for. And as far as arms are concerned, you know, watching Rodon get better and better with every start has been terrific. So it's almost a must view when he goes to the mound, because he's that good and he's going to be a whole lot better. Giolito would like to get some consistency, as would Lopez. Those are young guys that at least are penciled in for consideration for the future. So some of the building blocks are here. Some of the ones are coming up. I don't know exactly who it's going to be. You'd have to think that eventually Kopech and Eloy Jimenez are going to be here. It's just a question of one. I don't think they'll be here before September, but hopefully in September we'll take a look at them, and that'll be a little bit more exciting. But
okay,
August is always a tough month.
Yeah, now, but the thing, at the beginning of the season, you were dubious about Eloy Jimenez coming up this year at all. Because he has advanced so dramatically in the minors, mm-hmm. you're yes. anticipating he'll be here?
I think that there's a very good chance that he will be here in September. And, you know, when you talk about advanced, he hasn't exactly advanced. He's just killed pitchers wherever he's gone. So when you look at some of the numbers that he's put up and realize that he keeps on getting better with every step, then you look at the numbers that he's put together in AAA and you realize that there's nobody there who can do anything to negate his prowess offensively. You'd have to think that there's not a whole lot left for him to prove. Yeah, you'd like to see him stay healthy over the longer period, but, you know, once a minor league season ends, there's nothing for him except for a September call-up, if that's the case. And, you know, it could very well be that they bring him up in September. I'd like to take a look at him. I think the fans would like to.
Yeah,
but,
I think so.
But, you know,
I think
you might get
a sellout for his first game. I think you might.
Yeah.
He's that kind of he's there's a legend that is preceding him already.
Well, I mean, he's just everybody who has seen him any level he's gone to, whether it was the hitting school that the Sox put on last offseason, he went there and just dazzled some people. In spring training, everything was the same. And every stop he's made in the minor leagues, he has dazzled people. And so, you know, this is a guy that that I think probably has taken all the at-bats that he's gotten this year, made the most of them, and probably due for a change. Who knows what it's going to be exactly. I don't know. You know, there's no timetable on anybody. But hopefully we'll get a chance to see him.
Sonny, when you look at the 25-man roster as it's consisting right now, are there guys on there that maybe we didn't expect to see this year that are kind of playing their way into maybe a future spot here? I guess I think of Daniel Polka as the first one that comes to mind.
Well, certainly you've got yourself a guy that's probably best suited as a designated hitter against right-hand pitchers. And believe me, if they throw him anything down, he just kills it. So I think he's one of the guys that is very much a bona fide surprise. And another surprise, I mean, a guy that nobody could have predicted he's doing what he's done is Omar Narvaez. I mean, Narvaez, the better part of the last 2 months, 7 weeks to 2 months, he's the best hitting catcher in baseball. He's hit well over 400. Nobody would have expected him to do that. Plus, he's hitting for some power. I mean, he's hit 4 home runs. He does keep on hitting the ball hard. He's pulling the ball now, which is something he didn't look like he could do a whole lot of last year and early this season. But all of a sudden, he's come around and gotten better and better. And so he's certainly in the mix. I mean, you'd have to take a guy swinging the bat as well as he's swinging it and say, you know what, as a left-handed counterpart for whoever is swinging the bat from the right side as a catcher, this guy looks like he's got a chance. And then, you know, there's Zach Collins. Obviously, he's a guy that everybody looks to as a future of this organization behind the plate. But you can't overlook Omar and what he's done this year. He's done it against major league competition. Some of the better pitchers around, he keeps on hitting. And no let up in sight, judging by the way he played over the weekend.
Can we talk a little bit about Jim Thome going into the Hall of Fame?
His speech yesterday, so emotional. Yeah, I'd love to hear your thoughts too, Steve. You know, when he said, I can't believe this is me, 13th round draft pick out of Central Illinois. Here's this guy from Peoria, just as gracious can be. And a lot of people just know him as being one of the nicest guys ever to play the game.
Well, he is that, and he's been that way from the beginning. I mean, I knew Jim back when he was with Cleveland just coming up. He was the same exact guy just coming up as he is now. He hasn't changed one iota. He's been a strong family man, a guy that values family above all else, a guy that put together this wonderful career. When you looked at where he came from, I mean, this guy was a slugger. He was a third baseman, was a slugger. You didn't look much about his fielding. You wondered, you know, yeah, he could certainly hit the ball out of the ballpark, but, you know, just how much was he going to hit? And when you take a look at it, almost 1,700 runs batted in, 612 home runs. You look at the sum total of what he's accomplished, and it's staggering. And yet you see other guys who have done what he's done, gotten to the pinnacle that he's gotten to, and you don't recognize them from the humble beginnings. But Jim is not that guy. Jim is the same guy today, and that's really a testament to him. He's been a delight everywhere he's gone. He's one of those guys that the teammates just love. The city he's in benefits from him being there because he and his family have been wonderful with them. I mean, it's a remarkable story, and it continues to go on. And the Sox are very happy to have him as part of their organization now. And I know that he's just so well respected everywhere.
Well, it's a very cool thing. He played in major leagues for 22 years, and you know, notably Cleveland, right? Mm-hmm. And then and he was, you know, with the White Sox for a number of years, but he maintains his home here in Chicago. He very famously was one of those houses, like whether he lived in the city for a couple of years and he's been out in the western suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of those houses you got to go to at Halloween. You're told if you live near him, like everybody in the neighborhood knows.
He gives out the full candy
right.
bars.
He's full candy bars.
What?
Giving away like
more?
Cars. It's like crazy. I mean, he's great to the community. He's great. It's great to have him within the White Sox organization too, because he's one of those guys. To, you know, as many guys as you can have who are Hall of Famers that other players can look up to and go, that's who I want to be. That's how I want to live my life. That's the way I want to be seen as a professional. Jim Thome is just that personified. So
yeah, the sad part about it is that we have a lot of bad publicity and we're seeing more from guys who make careless tweets over the course of their lives. And they come out, you know, from 7, 8, 9 years ago, whatever the tweets come out, and they're terribly embarrassing for the game and for that player, certainly. And then you see on the other side of the equation, you see Jim Thome, and you take a look at what he's done in his life and how he's ingratiated himself with every community he's ever played in, and the fact that he is a huge part of the Chicago landscape at this point.
Right.
And you realize that, yeah, you can point to that guy and say he is everything you would want a professional player to be. And you can take parents of kids who are just starting their careers, they're not professionals yet, and they're saying, you know what? When you grow up and play, you want to be just like that guy.
Yeah.
That's the guy you want to be like. He's an object right. lesson to all the parents of all the kids playing sports on every level. And it's not just guys. It's girls playing big-time sports also. That's the guy you want to emulate. You want your career to be like him. You want to have no bad ever said about you in any aspect, and Jim doesn't. You can't find anybody to tell you anything bad about him. I think you'd have to look forever and still not find one, but it is a testament to him and his family is how he's carried himself, and the people who raised him also, the Thomes who raised him from a very little baseball player to what he is today. It's a testament to that upbringing also, and the fact that apparently they raised him very well in Peoria.
Yeah, thanks very much. Appreciate it, Steve. Steve Stone
okay,
on baseball,
guys.
Brought to you by Los Santana Restaurants. Let's find out right
have
now.
A good
from,
show.
Thank you. From Ryan, what's coming up at the top of the hour?
Yeah, we've got new information on the Obama Library and when it will finally begin construction.
Never defunded. No? Violetta? Ranger tickets coming up for you. Stay close.
Is this Duran Duran?
Yeah, but you know what? I was still had to hit the post, though.
Okay.
I mean, and I did have to. It's called pre-promotion. We do a lot of it in radio.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
I like to pre-promote. You see, that's what we're doing right now. We're pre-promoting the fact I got Night Ranger tickets and Night Ranger.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, I partied with Night Ranger back in the day.
Sure.
It's the 30th anniversary of Night Ranger.
Are they fun to party with?
I don't remember.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the 35th anniversary. I don't remember the first 5 years. That's how stoned I was.
Oh, gee. Well.
Okay, DJ guy.
Thank you.
They're going to be at the Silver Creek Event Center, Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo. Tickets are on sale right now at Ticketmaster.com. Four Winds Casino, your entertainment escape. They're kind of fun, Night Ranger. Does take you into a whole other world.
Have you seen him in concert?
Yeah.
Mm.
Oh, sure.
Mm. Radio man?
I'm a radio guy. Oh, remember that night? Because I don't.
Wasn't a good night, I suppose.
I'm going to tell you something right now. The nights I don't remember are the best nights.
Probably for everyone.
Except for the ones I woke up in a jail cell.
Oh.
We're in the back of a squad roll, as we used to call it. Handcuffed to the fence in front of me.
It's hard to get to work then by like 6 p.m.
Not for me, though. I haven't dropped me off right at work. I can't tell you how many radio stations around the country where the squad car pulls up and then the DJ gets out wearing paper underwear because he had to spend the night in lockup.
Oh,
but he had to get to his job, so they drop him off. There's always a radio station in a strip mall.
Uh-huh.
You know, all you have to do is you drive around throughout the nation in some smaller towns throughout the nation. Look
sure.
for the big antenna
mm-hmm.
on the top of a building somewhere, on the top of a one-story building. It's
right.
not on the top of a 10-story building
no.
or 20-story building. It's on the top of a one-story building in a strip mall. That's the radio station that our friend has worked at.
It's nice they do curbside drop-off. I didn't know that the prison folks were that, they had that kind of amenities.
I mean, he's a loyal, he's a very hard employee, worker. You know, he's got to get to work.
Well, I wish I worked that hard. But I do, but in fact, I have had a lot of jobs, so. But it's just so I can keep affording to gas money to get to the next town.
No, you don't give yourself enough credit. You hit that post like a professional.
It's the only thing I know how to do. You like Bananarama?
I do, actually.
I got it for you right now. It's Mars tonight, but right now it's Venus on the radio. 95,000 degrees at O'Hare.
Well done. Tonight's your best chance to see Mars in 15 years, by the way. But Friday night's your best chance to see Bruno Mars. Cheesy radio guy would not know anything about Bruno Mars. It's way too current.
Where is he going to be at the United Center?
I thought he's Lala, isn't he, guys?
Oh, Lala, right. Yeah. Oh, that's right. What am I thinking? Yeah, at the Lals. Oh, man, that's going to be something.
It will.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't forget Lala's going on this weekend.
Yeah.
Cheesy radio guy might not let you know about that.
Doesn't know anything about Lollapalooza. All right.
He might enjoy himself, though.
We should send him out there. We should send him.
You can get the reports for us.
I got to get Cheesy Radio Guy to get on a stage to introduce a band at Lala. That's what I got to do.
With those crazy names?
Yeah.
Or you can do a report from Lala for us about what's going on.
And we could play our game. Lala band or medical condition.
I know.
We could play sometime this week before it's all said and done.
It's a great game.
And most of those conditions Cheesy Radio Man already has.
Yes, that's true. Mm-hmm. Still suffers from because he lost his health insurance a number of times. All right. Are you ready? Because we got to do this. This is probably more important.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right.
Number five.
Man. All right. So President Trump at a press conference today with the Italian prime minister. I love this man so much. He is so beautiful. This guy is really, he's a gigantic populist from Italy, too. Mm-hmm. So they're like the same guy, except this guy's more charming.
Giuseppe Conte.
Yes.
Very nice.
That's careful there.
Yeah.
Now, he threatened a government shutdown, the president did, not Giuseppe, because Giuseppe is like, this man is so beautiful, he wears a beautiful suit. Look at the fabric and his suit. I love him so much. I want to be like him. And by the way, we need a little financial aid. This might be good for the country. Well, I'm very big in the EU. Is the only guy like in the... I mean, the only guy that he get along with in the EU. Actually, that's what Trump said. He goes, I like this guy very much. He's the best. He's the only guy I get along with. Right? Because he's like, because the guy's preening all over him, right?
Oh, yeah.
By the way, we both agreed that Angela Merkel looked like a man.
Oh, gee.
Anyway, the point here is this. That the president said he is all for a government shutdown if he doesn't get his wall.
We have to end these horrible catch and release principles where you catch somebody, you take their name and you release them. You don't even know who they are. And then they're supposed to come back to a court case where they want us to hire thousands of judges. The whole thing is ridiculous. And we have to change our laws. And we do that through Congress. So I would certainly be willing to close it down to get it done.
Yeah. You can feel the manufactured crisis already coming, can't you? It's the 37 days before upcoming election, midterm election, they're going to have a shutdown. And everyone will use it to their political advantage.
Right. Yeah, there's also a...
kind of a deflection thing going on there.
And I think this is not going to be the headline by the end of the week. And there will be other headlines by the end of the week. He also said this about NATO.
It was a great meeting. In every respect, I would say it was very good. And NATO in particular. I went to NATO, and NATO was essentially going out of business because people weren't paying, and it was going down, down, down. You just have to look at the line. I came along last year, and in a fairly nice tone, I said, you got to pay. And they paid $44 billion more. And this year, I said it in a little bit stronger tone. and they're paying hundreds of billions of dollars more over the years. And NATO will be strong again.
NATO was going out of business.
Yep.
30% off. Mm-hmm. Everything must go. Montenegro must go. What?
I don't know where that comes from.
What? Mm-hmm. I mean, how do people, I mean, seriously, huh? When people wearing the red hats, when they hear him say that, do they think that's real? NATO is not a business. It's a treaty. It's a business. It's not a business. The thing he's arguing about with the money isn't about those countries paying NATO anything. That thing about the money is about those countries paying for their own defense, which is part of the treaty, which they're doing now. And yeah, he gets credit for that. He gets credit for an increase and a faster pace. They weren't paying 2% of their GDP, which they were not supposed to be at that threshold until 2022. And people weren't tracking to do that. And that's what he was arguing about, which the end of the day was they weren't buying stuff from the United States to do that, because we're the major arms manufacturer for those countries in terms of big projects, whether it's cyber warfare or it's airplanes or stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And we weren't. The defense complex in America has been wanting them to pay more. This is the whole thing about the 2% GDP threshold at NATO was really, 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 really pushed by our friends down the street at Boeing and other major defense manufacturers at Grumman. It's, you know, they want that. I get it. It's fine. I'm all for it. I love I'm a big fan of defense contracting. It's all good, but that's really what this is about. It's not they're not going out of business. They were never going out of business. There's no such thing as NATO going out of business. It's a treaty. That is not what he is talking about. So when he says stuff like that, you can't, if you know what you're talking about, when he says stuff like that, you go, oh God, why did he say that? And please forgive me. It's not unpatriotic to go, oh my God, why did he say that? Because it's true. It's wrong. Okay, what about Vladimir Putin?
Well, I had a great meeting, in my opinion. Of course, the fake news didn't cover it that way, but I had a great meeting with President Putin of Russia. I think it was a great meeting in terms of the future, in terms of safety and economic development and protecting Israel and protecting everybody. I thought it was a great meeting.
How would we know that, though?
Yeah, I don't know.
The fake news didn't cover it like that because no one knows what happened in it.
Mm-mm.
And I would say the legitimate news organizations didn't cover it like that because nobody knew what happened in it. Even his friends at Fox News Channel thought, well, we should have known what happened in that.
For sure.
So, I mean, there's that. Okay. I can only get so upset. Checking in at
number four.
This is not going to help me.
No, number four will not help the not get upset plan.
Rudy Giuliani took to television today to fight against the ongoing special counsel probe into Russia's attempted interference in the 2016 election, which brings us to this thrill ride of a performance by the former mayor of New York.
Paul Manafort's trial is starting tomorrow.
Right. And he has no information incriminating of the president. I know that for a fact. They can squeeze him. Paul Manafort does not know anything, nor could it be possible they did. He was with him for 4 months. I was there when Paul Manafort was there. Paul Manafort was a brilliant gatherer of delegates.
Gatherer of delegates. He was the chairman of the
He was, but he really wasn't. Jared and the sons and Bossy and these other people were really running it.
He was the chairman. He was the chairman of the campaign, but yes. He wasn't really doing anything. That's not what he was doing. He was just there for the delegates. And we barely knew him. And whatever this is has nothing to do with the president. I don't know. Whatever they find on him. And it's probably not right anyway. Now, wait. Now, that's one thing. I think we all kind of, you know, that slump shoulder, shifty eyes of Paul Manafort, always from the minute we met him on the
you weren't so sure.
On the stage, we realized that there was something weird about that dude. Right? He was in my top five list of guys who are going to go to jail.
From the beginning.
Yeah, Mike Flynn was the other guy, too. So it's funny. I got two of the top five. Right there. Right from convention on. But, that wasn't the best part of today.
No, it was not.
No.
You're saying that Paul Manafort did not have any power in the campaign?
I'm not saying that. I said he had a very discreet, important area. What I'm saying is he was never involved in intimate business relationships with Donald Trump. I mean, that's just 4 months, they're not going to be colluding about Russians, which I'm not even know if that's a crime, colluding about Russians.
Okay.
You start analyzing the crime. The hacking is the crime. The hacking
that
is the crime.
Certainly is the original crime.
Well, the president didn't hack.
Of course not. That's the original
crime. He didn't pay them for hacking.
And as you know, it has led other places. The meeting with the Russians.
If you got the hacked information from the Russians here at CNN and you played it, would you be in jeopardy of going to jail? Of course not.
Okay. So what Rudy Giuliani is saying is that if, in fact, the Trump organization got the information, the Russians hacked the, which they did, hacked the DNC and released it, and the Rush, and even the Trumps knew about it before that it was going to happen.
Right.
Even if they were given a heads up or were, it had even said to the Russians, well, can you hold it until this day? Or this would be a good day to release it—the day that the P tape came out. That P, the P word tape,
dossier.
Came out. Yeah. The Billy Bush tape.
Oh,
the day
right.
the Billy Bush tape.
Oh,
came
I
out.
See what you're saying.
Which because okay, that because remember tape. They released it that day, right? Yes. Right afterwards, so you had Anna Navarro screaming the P word all over television, and then the next morning there were these all of a sudden there were these emails that popped up of Hillary,
right?
You know, of the people talking about how that they can't stand Hillary in her own campaign. That thing. Right. So even if they did that, even if they said to the, oh, you got these. All right. Well, then release them. That's not illegal. It's not a crime. That's Rudy Giuliani's take on this. So my I don't know if I'm not a lawyer. I don't know the answer to that question. And I'm assuming a jury would have to figure that out at some point because lawyers could argue.
Mm-hmm.
But there is something else that I think is important here.
What's up?
And that is that. Do we as a country want a guy who is willing to work with our greatest rival? Some would say enemy, others would say, you know, competitor. But, you know, a great geopolitical rival that did actually commit a crime and stealing and hacking and stealing the emails and doing all of that. Do we want the Commander-in-Chief of the United States, duly elected, to have been a part of that with the Russians? Is that what we want? And is that okay? If he just stands for what you want politically, is that okay? That's a question we have to ask ourselves. Mm-hmm. I would say no, but a lot of people wearing red hats would say yes. Now, the other question is, why is this all coming to a head right now this week? Why is Rudy Giuliani out there? Why did he run out there? Why is Trump on Twitter yesterday and today going after Robert Mueller?
Something's bubbling
personally.
To the surface.
Yes. And I think you're going to see something major coming out of the Mueller investigation this week. That's what I'm saying.
Quite possible.
The lawyers now are saying that Don Jr.'s lawyers just came out within the last 2 hours to say that they are very comfortable with Don Jr.'s testimony to the special counsel's office. Why do they have to say it? Who asked the question?
That's right. It seems fairly out of the blue, unless there's something else connected to that.
Did you see the picture last week of Don Jr. and Mueller sitting at the airport together?
Mm-hmm. Well, they weren't sitting at the airport. Don Jr. was in line to get on the plane, and Mueller was sitting there.
But they were in the same frame. Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't seem to notice each other.
No.
But it is interesting. But the point is this, that we're. Something's going to happen. That's all I'm telling you. Thank you.
Very possible.
Okay. Just remember you heard it here first. And remember me fondly when I'm taken off to the gulag. Send me potatoes. Before we get to the 3, 2, and 1, let's check in very quickly. Ryan, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Road closures and tight security ahead of Lollapalooza. That and more coming up at 5:30.
All right. Violetta.
The Sox get in the ring with KC, and this fight guaranteed to go 9. Tuesday night baseball, White Sox Royals, Tuesday at 7 on WGN-TV.
Sometimes they go 13, 14, or 15.
Could happen. You never know.
All right, top 5 continues. We're up to
number 3.
Oh, no.
What's going on with Jeopardy?
Don't expect Alistair Beck to stay with Jeopardy past 2020.
Oh, no.
He's been there since 84. He sat down with Harvey Levin's Objectified to discuss his possible replacements.
Who would be a good, solid host of the show if you retired?
Mentioned to our producer not so long ago that the fellow who does play-by-play for the Los Angeles Kings, they should consider him.
What about a woman?
There is an attorney,
Laura Coates. She's African-American.
And she appears on some of the cable news shows from time to time.
What are the odds that you will stay after 2020?
50-50 and a little less.
Ooh.
Why did my name not get mentioned?
I don't know. I mean, he didn't ask him to keep going. Favorite radio host? I mean, then he would have, you know.
How? All right. If they asked him to keep going, how long do you think it would have taken for him to get to me? Would it have been 5 minutes? 5 years? How long?
Have you ever met him?
I have, yes. I've interviewed him.
Well, Laura Coates is the CNN analyst. You see quite a bit during
legal analyst stuff.
And she's honored, and she said she already reached out on Twitter, kind of, you know, saying, hey, this would be great. And thank you for thinking of me.
When does Pat Sajak and Vanna White start considering their next journey in life?
Who's the LA Kings guy they're talking about?
Maybe Bob Miller, just retired recently.
And why? Has he done game shows before?
I don't think so.
Let's go to the younger generation. Yeah.
Younger. You know, Alex is like 90. Games, everybody's right? Younger.
Yeah.
I see Violetta doing it, mispronouncing the names and the questions.
A little bit more energy in that show.
I see. All right. I think that's not about the energy. It's about the geeks.
Knowledge.
Number two.
All right. Sacha Baron Cohen pulled off an elaborate and disturbing prank last night on Who Is America. Now, The character he's playing is this militant alt-right Israeli extremist, Colonel Aaron Murad. this week, he lured in none other than Roy Moore. Remember Roy Moore?
Of course we do. Alabama senator.
And is that what we've got here? Is that I'm looking at confusion?
He was the one with the indiscretions with young ladies.
Oh yes. Oh, I'm
supposedly
sorry.
Would go to the malls.
He also did a thing. I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself here. He also did a thing with he lured in these three guys who thought they were going to stop Mexican immigrants by inviting them to a quinceañera. By doing a sting with a quinceañera.
Oh,
so
gosh.
I don't know which one do you want to play. I'm sorry. All right, so here's the Roy Moore part.
Mm-hmm.
This is all worth seeing. Here's Roy Moore.
So, is this your jacket?
Yes.
Did you lend the jacket to somebody else, maybe?
No. I've been married for 33.
Sure.
And never had an accusation of such things.
I am not accusing you at all. This is
well,
not...
Well, then, if this is an instrument, I'm not a pedophile, okay?
No, but the machine is...
Know. Then maybe Israeli technology hasn't developed properly.
This is 99.8% accurate. Well, it is not saying that you are a pedophile, of course not.
I am simply cutting this conversation right now.
No.
Thank you.
Have you been...
Been nice.
Been
I support Israel. I don't support this kind of stuff.
Okay, so let me explain that because I didn't set this up right. I've blown this whole thing. They claim to have had a detector that detects child molesters, and that it was going off every time that Roy Moore was near it.
Yeah.
And so there was that.
Yeah. So he
so Roy Moore was like, hey, wait, I've never been accused of this. Well, yeah, no, you actually were. That's why you lost the election. But whatever.
He's threatened legal action against Who Is America and Sacha Baron Cohen.
He's threatened legal action against a lot of people so far.
Yeah.
Against all the people who accused him and everything, too. He'll have to. The problem is, for that, he has to actually go to court to prove that that those people were lying about his relationships with them. So that's never going to happen. All right. Anyway, it's pretty wild what's happening here.
It is.
We're waiting for the Sarah Palin one. That's coming up at some point. All right. And finally.
Number one.
Bruce Willis got grilled like a cheeseburger last night in the Comedy Central roast. Here is Dennis Rodman.
Oh, jeez.
Bruce Willis, the last time I saw you was in the strip club. Do you remember that?
I do.
Yes. Yes, you do. And Nikki, you was great on the stage, baby. Bruce, you keep making these bombs. But guess what? So does Kim Jong-un. But at least Kim is smart enough not to release his.
Oh, boy. Does that break the guy code if you say I saw you at the strip club last or any of that? I think he kind of bombed the whole thing.
Yeah, I think with why? But Dennis why? Rodman is the most, you know, one of the top 10 most important Americans this year.
He is.
Right?
He is.
So you got to have him because he's international diplomat, Dennis Rodman.
All humanitarian.
Right. Yes, got to go.
The top five at five.
That's Ro Concha with Anna DeBlantis right here at 720 WGN. All right. A.B. Stoddard joins us. You know her, you love her from Real Clear Politics. And whenever you turn on your television, she's sitting on a panel looking like when some topics come up, everybody on the panel looks like there's a truck swerving at them. And this week is one of those where you're like, wait, what just happened? Paul Manafort is going to trial tomorrow. Is that correct, A.B. Stoddard?
It is. Tomorrow is the big day.
Yes. Is there going to be stuff? I have a theory. I'm going to just run this past you, and then I will sit down and wait for my gasp. There seems to be Rudy Giuliani is out today. They're seeding the field for something here. They're preparing us. They're trying to pre-frame us, we the American people, about.
I think you're right
about something that's coming. That the narrative today is about the fact that even if there was collusion, there's nothing wrong with collusion. There's no such thing as collusion. There's collusion, but it's not a crime. So I even know what that means. And that these terrible people in Washington, who are these investigators who are investigating him? And Donald Trump's tweet today, right, about Robert Mueller, when is he going to talk about, you know, his nasty business dealings with Donald Trump? This is Donald Trump saying it, using himself in the third person. Now, we don't know what those are, but they're trying to say that Mueller is, you know, not to be believed. And, you know, this is an illegitimate investigation and possibly illegal investigation. And the press is awful and they're the enemy of the people. So don't believe what you're hearing here. What are they doing?
It's been an extraordinary couple of hours. The president started some wild, desperate tweet storm about this yesterday, calling the probe illegal. This allegation about their business dealings reportedly relates back to Mueller trying to quit his membership at this Virginia golf club of Trump's, that Trump is very upset about. And when Allison Camerota of CNN tried to put Rudy on the spot about that today and say, what are these problems, Rudy wouldn't say. And then she says, well, if you're going to make these accusations, why shouldn't the president, you know, tell us what that is? And he said, no, it's up to Mueller. He's the one who has the conflict. So basically, someone makes up a story about you and it's just on you. So that's the way that goes. But calling the probe illegal, today Rudy was saying things like, it's horrible. It's just horrible what Mueller is doing, he said. He basically made the case that the president can barely govern anymore because untrue things are coming out of the Mueller campaign. That's not true. They're not leaking. They're not going on TV. They're not holding press conferences. They're not tweeting wildly. You know, there was a revelation that Michael Cohen wants to tell something to Bob Mueller, but that has nothing to do with the credibility of the Mueller investigation. So Rudy was all over the place this morning and then lapping it up later about strategy sessions before the Trump Tower meeting. He didn't say that Trump didn't know about it. He just said he didn't attend it. Then he said collusion isn't a crime because he's setting up, which we started hearing from the pro-Trump media last week. We started the collusion is no problem echo. And that's been building over the weekend. So now it's collusion is not a crime. He said something like the hacking is a crime. And then he said, but the president didn't pay for the hack. So it was really sounding as if he's throwing out some yeah, some preparatory sort of explosion so that when more comes, it's not as shocking. It just seemed really bizarre, the things he was saying.
I'm throwing this at you. Prepare to receive.
Uh-oh.
Brace yourself.
Uh-oh.
Oh, I'm trying.
Why are Donald Trump Jr.'s lawyers today saying they're standing by Donald Trump Jr.'s testimony to the special counsel?
Right. Well, I don't know what he's told the special counsel. There's a potential that he lied to Congress, Donald Jr., about this meeting, saying his father didn't know about it. And then Chuck Grassley today said that the chairman of the Judiciary Committee said, on the Senate side, said, we know if he lied to Congress, that's out of our hands now, and that will be something for the DOJ to handle. And so that's really interesting about this whole thing that Cohen started a few days ago. It really does. It makes Don Jr., if he lied to Congress, you know, really legally exposed here. So that's where this is a big deal. It's not that Michael Cohen is so credible, but if this is true and he has, you know, means of backing it up and he can prove that Don Jr. lied to Congress, that becomes a problem. I wonder what Don Jr. has told Mueller behind closed doors. I would assume it's the same thing he told Congress, but I don't find any of these people very credible.
Yeah. No.
Well, you saw Congressman Cohen on with Will Blitzer today. I was watching, and he said, you know, this information that he believes Donald Trump Jr. and Jared Kushner will both be indicted by Mueller. And then Wolf Blitzer was like caught off guard by it and said, well, those are stunning allegations. What do you have to base this on? And I guess everyone in the audience who was watching at this moment would have been stunned and thought, does he have some sort of basis for it? Is this some kind of political ploy?
Is it Lanny Davis who said this?
It was Representative Steve Cohen out of
Congressman Cohen.
Tennessee.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah.
And just kind of launch that grenade and let it hang out there, and then who knows?
Right. Well, that's not entirely responsible, but
no.
But it is always. I mean, look, everyone has been, you know, making up their minds about what could be the worst case scenario, and because of the Trump Tower meeting and the fact that the president, and this was reported a year ago. And then, of course, backed up and cleaned up by Rudy Giuliani, like it's not a problem when you lie to the New York Times or whatever he said, that the president, you know, helped write a false statement about Don Jr.'s meeting when he was flying back in June of 2017 about the June of 2016 meeting. And we know that Manafort and Jared were at that meeting with Don Jr. And so if no one has collusion is not a crime. But we're not talking about collusion, we're talking about conspiracy against the United States. So if there's real meat behind this, and there was stuff with Cambridge Analytica and stuff with, you know, using stolen analytics, I don't know how far this goes and how vulnerable legally Jared Kushner and Don Jr. are.
The charge would be conspiracy to defraud the United States. That's a different. That's
right.
It's not. So collusion is a term of art. It's not. It's a term of practice, not a term of art. And so that is important for people to remember that this isn't. So there's no collusion. That what the language is going to change here as these charges, if they are to come, that's you're never going to hear a charge of collusion.
Right,
and
exactly.
And when people start to go, oh, conspiracy to defraud the United States. Oh, wait a second, what does that mean? Right, and so that's going to be the next piece of this puzzle if it were to come. I mean, we're assuming it does, or Mueller just closes up shop and goes, all right, we're going home. Nothing to see here. I don't see that happening.
We can expect, and people who and watch this closely believe, and I don't think they've really said it on the record so much, you know, legal experts, but that the next indictments are Americans. They're no longer Russians. That we've shut that part down, and they're going to move on to people who might have done something wrong with regard to this. whether within the campaign or around the campaign, yeah, and potentially within the family. And that is where the problem is. And then, of course, Michael Cohen makes the president extremely nervous in a whole other area, because he and Alan Weisselberg, who is in charge of all the financing at the Trump Organization, far more than Michael Cohen, he has been reported by the Wall Street Journal to have been subpoenaed by the grand jury, and that goes into all of his business dealings.
And that's a grand jury, which, by the way, that's the problem with this. It's very important. These are important things. I know this sounds like a lot of noise to people, but I'm going to stop on this because this is critical. Because when Weisselberg goes up before the grand jury, they're going to ask him specifically about the structuring of deals.
Yes.
With that the Trump Organization did. And were they structured to avoid tax complications? Were they structured to favor people overseas that may then get wrapped back in, Russians at all, or people in the Middle East that may get wrapped back into foreign policy decisions that have been made? When that happens, in front of a grand jury, Alan Weisselberg is going to be required to say something. My guess is he's going to say that he will plead the Fifth Amendment. He's going to take five, as they like to say in Washington, because he can't. I don't think he's going to want to talk about those things now. And he doesn't want to jam himself up in front of a grand jury. And will he have the ability to plead the Fifth? That's a whole other issue. So it's a pretty, I mean, we're going to live in these really, 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 really interesting times here in the next couple of weeks that are really going to knock some people's socks off. That is my guess. I think all this is going to happen before September 1st.
See, that's the big question about what Giuliani was saying today. And I was sitting in for Michael Smirkanish today, and we had Chris Cuomo on, and I, you know, sort of tease him that he spends a lot of time with Rudy Giuliani, and he must be, like, serve as a translator for the incoherent, often contradictory ramblings of Rudy Giuliani. And I said that Rudy Giuliani tried to tell us on New Day, I know he made a lot of appearances last couple days, that the Mueller's being wrapped up by September. We don't know if Mueller's going to do the full report by September or just the obstruction of justice part. This is the thing that's so sort of difficult to get a handle on, is when the explosion takes place, either the explosion or the exoneration. But when is full stop conclusion? And
yeah,
and that is that's the big mystery. What's not a mystery is that the president and Rudy Giuliani have decided that he is safe and protected from impeachment, and that he'll never be indicted, that he won't be indicted, he's safe from impeachment as long as they could just trash everybody from subject to witness to prosecutor every which way but loose, and that is going to protect them from the crazy Republicans in Congress, and it'll make them so afraid they'll never impeach him, no matter what comes out in the report. And they've made that, I mean, Rudy's pretty much made that very clear, that that's all that they care about.
And thank you for the Eddie Rabbit reference to 1977 every which way but loose. All right, thank you, AB. We'll talk to you.
Thank you.
All right, bye. All right, let us, if you fill in for Smirkanish, mm-hmm, you have to be able to say you're a lawyer. Now, as an attorney.
As an attorney.
Yeah. All right, may I just stop now and find out from Ryan what's coming up at the top of the hour?
The family of Maurice Granton Jr. denies that he was armed when police shot him. We'll have more on that coming up at 6.
And aren't there pictures of the gun?
There are. They say that that's not correct.
All right. Okay, let's see here. Violetta, your traffic being brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation. Yeah, I got some Night Ranger tickets for you coming up. Chance to rip us out, the 35th anniversary tour. Night Ranger playing all their hits plus deep cuts. Friday, August 17th, Silver Creek Event Center, Four Winds Casino, New Buffalo, Michigan.
I wonder what the temperature is at O'Hare.
79 degrees at O'Hare.
Could have used that there, maybe. Just a little pack.
I could have. It was a little wet, wasn't it?
I don't know what that means, but I just... There were a few
it's 80 degrees
there.
At O'Hare.
It's 80 degrees at O'Hare.
There you go.
Hold on a second. I think,
skip on the degrees.
I think aliens are landing here. Hold on. I don't know where she went.
I thought I was the only one hearing that. I got nervous.
Oh, that scared me right there. Oh, now I know what the problem is. Here, okay, I got it.
What is the problem?
I got it all fixed now.
You need to open up that briefcase.
Yeah, oh, I did get a shot at Jack Daniels, and I'm snorting some gunpowder. I'm good to go.
Never know.
I don't doubt that.
I don't doubt it. I don't doubt that about him either. And Night Ranger's going to be 35. Mm. Who knew that they were 35 years old?
35 years a band. Yeah. Man, oh man.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Night Ranger could run for president and possibly win.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the way that's going now.
Distinct possibility.
Hey, did you see this story?
Hmm.
I love this story. That the air marshals, that there's like a big concern now that air marshals have been monitoring American passengers.
I know. It was a little freaky.
That they've been following people on the planes that they think have had, you know, they find out through, you know, whatever investigation or social media or whatever, that people have been having interactions with other people that they're afraid of, like international types,
mm-hmm.
Al-Qaeda types and people like that. And then they've been actually following these people on the airplanes.
Huh.
To, like, you know, sitting near them, monitoring their activities on the airplane.
Oh, gosh.
Are they sleeping? One of the metrics are, do they get up and go to the bathroom a lot?
Mm-hmm.
Violetta.
Oh my God.
Do they?
She'd be on the list right away.
Oh, I'm sure she's already been monitored.
I do feel like people watch me sometimes.
Of course you do. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And follow me.
Narcissistic personality disorder.
No, it's not.
Anyway, the point is this, that you've got, they're watching them. Are they on their phone?
Oh my, I literally am checking all these boxes.
Well, do they dart around and look around their, you know, like quickly look around their seat and what are they doing, and do they sleep? And I don't know if they do sleep or they don't sleep, because I
how
can
much
never
they
sleep
during a flight is what they're monitoring. They say if you touch your face, you have a cold penetrating stare. Excessive sweating or excessive fidgeting would be some things that they would look for in terms of behavior.
That sounds like a really bad terrorist.
Well, I
like the one that's sweating and nervous on the plane.
Well, they said that about the shoe bomber, that he was nervous the whole flight. You know, so it was like a 6-hour flight or 7-hour flight that he was on before he tried to light his shoe on fire over New Jersey.
Right. They probably look at past, you know, people who have tried to commit crimes like this.
Yeah.
And then they come up with the behavioral characteristics.
And the underwear bomber?
Mm.
Remember? Now, that guy. See, now that was the thing. The underwear bomber, you know, that it didn't work out, but he knew he was going to blow himself up from his junk forward, right? I mean, that was the thing.
That was a Christmas. That was on Christmas too, wasn't it?
Right, Christmas Eve. Yeah, yeah. Detroit. Yeah, he was going to try to, and he, you know, he had the fuse, he had the whole thing going, and he knew that's where he was going from. I feel much better if I had a hat bomb, quite honestly. I don't know. And then, but they said that guy was acting strangely, and then trying to light his underwear on fire.
Well, that would be on the list, I think.
Yeah.
As soon as you see that, you gotta step in. But the rest of the stuff, some of the stuff would just seems like it's every, just about any normal passenger. I mean, how much you sleep, I don't know, touching your face, using a smartphone, that kind of stuff. Some of this behavior just seems uneventful, like it wouldn't mean anything.
But it was interesting because they seat them next to, you know, they seat them within so they can stare at them either in the same row or next to or whatever.
The air marshal would be placed so they can observe them.
I've never even noticed an air marshal. I know now on my next slide, I'm gonna be like, are you an air marshal? Who are you?
Did you see Bridesmaids, remember, when she called out the air marshal next to her?
Are you looking at me? Stop looking at me.
Because he was
trying to sleep here.
Because he doesn't have any, didn't bring a carry-on and was traveling alone and a man about the age of a, you know, average cop.
Right. The problem is that the air marshals, when they first started the program back up, mm-hmm. I mean, rightfully so, they beefed it up. It's been around forever. But when they beefed it back up after 9/11, the air marshals were too easy to identify.
Right.
Because they were making them literally wear like a coat, like wear, they had to dress like in khakis and a blazer and a shirt and a tie. Like, who else is dressed like that? Your air marshal should be wearing fuzzy slippers and one of those blow up neck pillow kind of things.
Yeah,
and try to jam a bag into the overhead.
Right, and they would travel. You know, then they started just wearing like golf shirts, right, and khakis. Let them wear jeans. Let them wear what everybody else is wearing
whatever
on board the plane.
You normally wear.
Yeah.
I wonder, do you think it's a suspicious person who wears sunglasses on a plane? Because, I mean, like, you think that's one of the attributes?
I didn't see that on the list. But, I mean, you get it that you like that they're looking for behavior? Because
I'm
that's important.
I'm for this. I mean, it's not like they're illegally like.
No, they're not looking at race and religion. They say that's what they maintain. The TSA says, but they, you know, they've gone after everyone from a flight attendant, an off-duty cop. That they've said that really they've looked at just about anybody who
but
falls under these.
But how far do they follow you? Like just
only
in the
airport?
Oh, in the airport.
Like from the airport to the plane.
And when do they start?
Like
straight
at the
through
gate,
security?
Basically, no, at like the gate. If you're getting on the plane. Sometimes they're pre-seated on the flight, which is really interesting because you never try to fight with the people about, you know, I want to change my seat and we'll let you do it. Turns out that, you know, the air marshal spy, turns out it was too close to the terrorist. And it was, you know, the air marshal spy had to sit there.
Take your seat.
Dead. Yeah. I guess maybe I feel better about that. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe we should.
I quite honestly, we have not had a problem that has been significant since September 11th on a U.S. carrier leaving the United States, taking off in the continental United States, or, you know, the United States, it's also Hawaiian, Alaska. But,
and how about that record?
Right. I mean, it's been pretty amazing. We've had problems, but it's been pretty much coming into the United States, right? You got the underwear bomber and the shoe bomber. Those were both flights that originated overseas.
And they were foiled.
Right. Mm-hmm. So whatever they're doing, they seem to be fairly effective at it. And I don't want to get in the way of that.
So when you first heard it, didn't it kind of creep you out a little bit?
No.
No, it didn't at all?
I mean, counting how many times I go to the bathroom, it's like I go to the bathroom a lot.
So does the person next to me.
Right.
They're definitely counting how many times they have to get up.
Yeah. And that's like, I like to sit in the window. Because I like to look out and see things. It makes me, feel good about myself.
Now, when you sit next to the window, does it bother you if the middle seat person asks you to close the window a little
bit? Yes, totally.
Why?
Yeah, because I figure...
But the light is bothering the middle.
I know, but I figure... Now, here's the problem. This is an issue. If you are in the window seat, do you control the... I mean, this is what I paid for.
It's a good question.
Do you control the window shade?
Fine. If you get the window shade, then I get both armrests in the middle because you have the wall and the other person has the aisle, so I get both middle armrests. That is a rule, correct?
No, because I'm on the aisle and I own both of those armrests.
No, you don't.
Oh, boy.
The middle person gets the middle two armrests because they don't have anything.
I do like the use of that. I've already worked out how I use my coat to create the like little pillow thing against the wall, against the window.
I've done that. I bring a sweater.
I've got the whole thing worked out. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way I'm going to go. I'm going to go that way.
Well, I'd say when the sun is obnoxiously glaring into the cabin, you kind of have to bring it down.
If we're darkening the cabin.
Yes.
For purposes of darkening for sleep.
Yes.
Then, yeah, I do it. Because I think that's the appropriate thing to do. But if we're on an hour and a half flight, I'm not playing that game with you people.
Listen, if you're leaving Vegas in the middle of the day, you need to close the blinds.
If it's a flight over 90 minutes, I understand it. If it's a flight like New York does not count. I do not close the shades for New York.
Now we still need to settle the
middle
armrest.
It's a really early flight.
The middle armrests belong to the middle seat because if both outside people think they get both armrests, then the middle gets nothing.
That's exactly what they're looking at. The TSA is looking at right now. That's exactly
goes to
what,
the bathroom a lot, fights over armrests.
This becomes is common combative. Courtesy. I can't believe people don't
wants
understand
control
this
of the entire environment.
Rule.
Right. And she has a lot of contact with nefarious types.
Including Boris, who we're not sure about. I mean, yes. He could be a good guy. He could
Listen,
be.
Listen, I get the middle seat a lot, okay? People think small people belong in the middle seat.
That's true.
It's not fair.
I put everybody in the middle. If I'm traveling with somebody, no matter who they are, they get in the middle seat if I'm in that configuration.
I get motion sickness. I can't put my seat back, and then I get no armrest. Then the guy has his blinds up.
I would take you off in handcuffs. I would get to the flight attendant's little microphone thing.
Uh-huh. And just yeah.
And I would get on if there's an
air marshal on board, I would like them to arrest the woman in 22B. 22B as in boy.
Middle seat. Big problem.
She's driving me crazy.
I just want to
please arrest her. I don't care what potential terrorist you're looking at right now. Arrest her.
Both armrests. Is that
Thank
so
you.
Much to ask for?
Yeah, you really are. You are really nothing but trouble. All right. And then she, and I'll never forget when we were coming back from Mexico,
mm-hmm.
when we did the show down there, we're coming back. I literally, going down and coming back, all I remember was I could hear her talking
the entire
in the plane.
Time. It was a packed plane.
Packed plane, and she was like seven rows away from us.
All you could hear was Violetta's voice.
I couldn't hear anything.
Well, yeah, over the sound of your own voice.
And as I recall, you had several outfit changes within the course of getting to O'Hare and landing in Mexico. So I wonder if that would be on the list.
Well, I did not dress appropriately. I had to.
That's
yeah,
true.
I had no. I had. It was like long sleeves. I don't know what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's check in now with Ryan Burrow. What's coming up at the bottom of the
hour? A woman says she was sexually assaulted at last night's Foo Fighters show at Wrigley Field. That and more coming up at 6:30.
Violetta. Right now, call number 19-312-981-7200. Trips us off for a pair of tickets to the 35th anniversary tour. Night Ranger playing all their hits plus deep cuts on Friday, August 17th, Silver Creek Event Center, Four Winds Casino, New Buffalo. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Four Winds Casino, your entertainment escape.
What do you do when it's falling apart? And you knew it was gone from the very start. You close your eyes.
Nicely done. That
Thank
was
79 at O'Hare.
That's exactly what we expect from you.
Yeah.
Professional. True professional.
The only thing I know how to do.
That it's 80 degrees at O'Hare.
Oh, apparently didn't do it as well as we thought you did. That's okay. The facts don't really matter. It's just sort of hitting the post that does.
That's true. Well, Ryan, you're going to drag me back to the bottle with that kind of criticism. Nothing worse than a tape session with your PD.
Your program director? Is there any? God, there's so much radio speak.
All right.
Oh, dear.
Good luck to the Night Ranger fans out there.
I wonder if Cheesy DJ guy or radio guy is going to go to Lollapalooza or if that's just not his thing, you know? You wonder if he goes there.
He's going just to dig up the alcohol.
Yeah, that's right.
Like
your whole idea,
right.
Ro. Lala Vodka.
Yeah,
remember
now,
that business you dreamt
yes,
up?
Yes. Now, here's the problem with this is that they cut off the park earlier. I think this is why. I think specifically for this reason. They do not want people burying vodka.
Definitely.
Or tequila in the park.
They put up the fences more than a week ago.
Yeah.
I mean,
you got to make these plans around 4th of July. That's when you got to start digging. You bring your shovel out there, you start digging.
And you got it now with you know, technology being what it is on uh-huh. your phone, you really can pinpoint it to the exact
oh, you can.
You know, the place.
Well,
you
when got, are we going to no do a drone drop, it. Right? You could do a drone drop.
I think they monitor
oh, no.
that stuff.
Oh, no.
I think they heavily monitor
CPD
yeah.
blow that thing oh, out of the sky?
Right mm-hmm. out of the sky.
Good luck.
I got to tell you something. If you are, if, you know, at the air show or at Lala or any of those kinds of things,
mm-hmm.
if you want to start messing around with a drone, you know how quickly the police will get to you? It's amazing. What they have a technology that allows them to find your drone and find who you are controlling the drone like that. Yeah. Seen it happen.
It's as fast as that air marshal following you to the bathroom.
Yeah, you
do.
Do
they
not
make you land it before they cuff you?
No, they know. Once they identify the drone, they can find exactly where the controller is. It's pretty amazing stuff.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
It's good to hear that they can track
yeah.
people down like that.
Yes.
For safety reasons.
There's a lot of technology that they have now, and this and they're beefing up this year because of the. Because obviously what happened in Las Vegas, and that guy
remember
had
what he
scouted
said?
Chicago and Lollapalooza to do that before he did it in Las
How
Vegas. So.
Chilling was that to yeah. hear that he stayed across the street? At the
he never came here.
Stayed, yeah.
He just got
oh.
a hotel
he booked
room.
The room.
He booked the room. That's right. That's right. And then he's, they believe
they're gonna
that
have,
he's
you're
going to
see
it.
Some people on top of buildings this year maybe you wouldn't see before. Wearing glasses and possibly having some heavy equipment under them.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting this year, but... safe. CPD does an excellent job at this.
Yes,
you got to give them
we do.
Some credit. And the JTTF here, the Joint Terrorism Task Force, mm-hmm. do an amazing job keeping Chicago
no
safe.
No question.
Because they've thwarted a number of things here over the years.
Right.
So that's it's important to know. Come down, have fun. Enjoy, let's see here, at Lollapalooza, enjoy Sabrina Claudio.
Okay.
How about Portugal the Man? Oh, I know who Portugal the Man
yeah.
is. Yeah.
What night is the Bruno Mars night?
I think it's Friday night, isn't it? You got the list there, Ro?
I got I just have all the different acts. I don't have the exact times. The Regrets, that was the name of my band in high school. Mr. G, that would be the son of Kenny G, I'm assuming.
Or the dad.
Dad.
Probably the son.
Right.
Because it's Lollapalooza.
Yes, it's probably. Yeah, but I'm going to guess. But you never know. And Catfish and the Bottleman. The Weeknd's going to be there. He's still missing an E.
Still looking for that E.
Still looking for an E. Bruno Mars, Jack White, Arctic Monkeys. Those are the your big headliners for those nights. Yeah, so The Weeknd is Thursday. Bruno Mars is Friday. Jack White, Saturday, and Arctic Monkeys on Sunday.
All right.
For the big headliners. All right. Let us now check in with Ryan Burrow. Coming your way in 2 minutes. It's Bro Con Show with Anna DeVlantis right here, 720 WGN, and the Bears are making news by not making news. Adam Hoge is joining us, our Bears insider, who was with the Bears all weekend long. And do you get a sense, with your ear to the rails there in Bourbonnais, do you get a sense that they are concerned about Roquan Smith not coming in?
Yes. Roquan.
What?
Roquan.
Yeah, that's what I said. Roquan Smith. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Roquan Smith. You know, I don't think they're concerned because they obviously have a much better idea of what's exactly sticking here between the two sides than everyone else does. However, okay, now we're at the point where Sam Darnold, who is the Jets quarterback, is the only other unsigned player, signed today with the Jets, and specifically in his contract is the language that the Bears are arguing about with Roquan Smith right now, which
So
basically, buried in all these NFL contracts are outs for teams. It's already really easy for NFL teams specifically to get out of contracts, right? There's very little guaranteed money. There's all these things that can be built in, but now when you hear the word guaranteed money and you think, well, no matter what, this player is going to get that money, well, there's these little clauses in there that say, oh, you know, if you get suspended for this, and it could be, you know, something like domestic violence, which you could argue, okay, that's fair. If you, commit domestic violence, we can void this contract and get out of it. Mm-hmm. But what the Bears and Roquan Smith are arguing is actually more to do with this idea that he can be suspended for helmet-to-helmet hits, which they're cracking down on this year, and there's going to be more ejections in games than we've ever seen before, and there's going to be more suspensions like Danny Trevathan, the Bears linebacker, got last year when he committed a helmet-to-helmet hit against Davante Adams in Green Bay.
Which every analyst at that time said was a legal hit. It was not. It was incidental contact. It was not, targeting or lowering your head to make that contact. It was just in the imprecision of a play at that speed is what led to it. But although the guy, went down hard on the ground after the hit, and that was the problem. That's why, and he was just down, and that was the notion that, like in real time, it would look. But they went back and reviewed that. And if you look at it, it was like there was nothing Danny Trevathan could have done to avoid that hit.
Yeah, and yet they still suspended him, which, by the language of his contract, the Bears could then say, oh, well, you got suspended, and now we want to get rid of you. Now, this is only an issue if a team wants to get rid of you, which, let's think about that. The only situation that the Bears are going to want to get rid of Roquan Smith in the next 4 years is if they made a terrible draft pick. Is if he's not good enough of a player that they're looking for an excuse to get out of the contract. So that's what's really kind of silly about all this. That if it were me, I would want my player not to be worried about whether or not he's now. The players are going to have to adapt, and they obviously can't be get kicked out every game with helmet hits. But they also shouldn't have to worry about the contract being voided if they do accidentally hit somebody with their helmet and end up getting suspended. If I was a team, I would want to put that in there to say, okay, we're not going to cut you over this if you get suspended. The problem is that sets a precedent. And now you go, and I don't know that this is the case, but what if all of a sudden Danny Trevathan goes, oh, well, I want that in my contract. So now I'm holding out until I get it, because these are new rules and everybody needs to adapt. So it's a tricky situation, but Sam Darnold did get these provisions taken out of his contract, so he doesn't have to worry about suspensions voiding his guaranteed money. And I think at this point it might be something the Bears have to budge on.
Yeah, I mean, with Darnold, though, I mean, he's an offensive player, so he may, he's probably not going to have to worry much about the helmet-to-helmet thing. But
well, they're going to call it an offensive player.
Yeah, I understand, but yeah. I'm just saying it's more of a thing for Roquan Smith, I think, than it would be for Darnold. But
I'm not pronouncing that right.
But Adam, I mean,
on this program is Roquan Smith.
Excuse me, Roquan Smith.
Yeah, I don't care what you do on Cochran, but here it's Roquan Smith. Go ahead.
I mean, when does it finally become an issue because of the fact that this kid is missing so much time? Danny Trevathan was talking today about, yeah, we'll help him catch up. We'll help him. But this kid is going to miss the first preseason game already.
Yeah, it's already an issue. We're 2 weeks. He was supposed to report 2 weeks ago to Berman.
I am
with the
so
rest of the
okay with him missing preseason.
You are? Because you don't want him to get hurt?
I'm okay with everybody missing preseason. I would like spare bears. I would like them to go find guys, you know, who played in D2, you know, NCAA Division Six, or from the prison league, have them come out and put, you know, give them something to go do. You know, I mean, I would be so okay with that.
Yeah.
Because the one thing right now that stands between me and an exciting fall is, you know, Bears futility. It ruins my entire fall. And it's been really hard for me to, I think for all Bears fans, you look forward to this so much. And injuries have played a big part in their futility because, quite honestly, there's a lot of talent on this. More talent now than they've had in years. But they've had some talented guys here. And they keep getting these, you know, crazy things happening to them. And that's what, you know, that's it. The teams that are there in January are the teams that stayed healthy.
Well, no question, but I think with Smith, you know, think about last year, Trubisky, you needed to get him out there to play because he needed to learn the offense. He needed to execute the offense.
Right.
And while Roquan Smith isn't a quarterback, he is supposed to be that middle linebacker in the Bears defense, making the calls, you know, have the headset in his helmet, get everybody lined up properly, and he hasn't even been in practice. So, yeah, I don't think it's a big deal that he's missing the first preseason game. Remember, the Bears have five of them this year, and that's already a bonus that they have. But he's missed 2 weeks of practice here.
Right.
And by the way, Nick Kwiatkowski's been playing really, really well. So, you know, I this was a guy when they drafted him, I go, he's starting week one against the Packers. Well, the more time that goes by here, the more it puts that in doubt.
Well, if Roquan Smith, right, said the correct way, is their star, right? They want him to be aggressive. They don't want him to hold back in any way for fear that he's going to lose his guaranteed money. Why wouldn't the Bears just say, you know what, we're going to sew this up? Other than what you just cited, they don't want this to be, you know, done for everybody.
Around.
But he's their star, right? He's a big star they're bringing on board. Why would there be such a holdup over this kind of a small thing?
Well, and that's why it seems silly. I mean, yeah, I understand why you don't want to set a precedent. But, you know, much like quarterback contracts, negotiations are different than any other position, you know, I would think given these new helmet rules that I could understand why, you know, the agent of a middle linebacker drafted number 8 overall is fighting for this for his client to say, hey, look, you know, the position he plays. And by the way, I saw the video. We had a meeting with the officials last week, Walt Coleman, one of the NFL referees. They showed us the video that the players are being showed that say, this is the new rule. This is what we're flagging this year, and this is what you're going to be suspended for. And I got to say, at least three of the tackles they showed us, or the so-called helmet-to-helmet hits, just look like regular plays to me.
Oh.
I mean, they didn't look bad at all. And so if I'm a player, and by the way, we always, whenever a veteran holds out who's already under contract, we're all tempted to be like, well, then you shouldn't have signed that contract then, right? You know, you got to honor your contract. Well, in this case, Roquan hasn't signed anything. So he's got an opportunity here to get exactly what should be written in there for him. And so I side with the player here on this one right now.
I do too, actually. Not just because he's Roquan, but I also side with him on this because they're changing the rules dramatically on these guys. The NFL contracts are really, compared to all the other major sports, And these are the guys who really risk the most of all the major athletic sports. It's not even close,
right,
in terms of longevity of life, in terms of, you know, cognitive ability, all of the things that these guys put themselves out there. They truly are gladiators in this modern era, which, you know, we kind of worries you about the future of all of this, but that is what they do. And I understand that what they're trying to do here is protect them from each other with this helmet to helmet thing. I understand why the league wants to do this.
Player safety.
I understand what's happening here. But in the meantime, you know, you kind of got to go along. It's not like the NFL's losing money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these franchises are worth more than they have ever been, despite the fact that there has been a lack of growth of television ratings and things like that. That's just true in the television industry. And the stadiums are still selling out. And can I just tell you something else that's really important here? Mm. The revenues to the teams from broadcast and all that are still very, very, very high. This whole idea that people are not interested in, they're trying to make it political and all that, the TV ratings are a function of people finding other ways to see these things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is a critically, critically, critically important, is that the major, with the exception of LA last year, the major cities didn't have big teams, right? Obviously, Boston did, and LA did, but LA, you know, the Rams are brand new back to LA. They don't have a fan base yet. And LA never supported in television their teams. When the LA Rams were great in the 1980s, those games were blacked out in LA because they couldn't fill up the stadium, mm-hmm, under those old rules. And Chicago did not particularly good. As you might remember,
I remember that,
right. So, you know, Philadelphia was good at the end, obviously, and so was Boston. So those were big markets. But Dallas wasn't big. The places where they really needed, Miami, those big television markets didn't have teams that people were watching by the time we got to November.
Yeah. I understand the safety part of it all, too, and you're trying to protect the players, as you point out. But the way I'm trying to understand this is, does this mean that teams now have, and I'm not singling out the Bears, but teams now have a caveat to contractually benefit from safety rules, or else players are feeling as if their money isn't guaranteed if they happen to get flagged for something that seems like it's not always clear cut?
Yeah, it's when you put it like that, yeah, you could see why that there would be sort of an out for them. As the rules are getting stiffer, the easier it is for the teams to get out of the contracts. Look, any of us who have ever worked under a contract know that there's clauses that get put in there, like, you know, you can't just say whatever you want about your bosses on the air, and rip apart your and that's part of this. I mean, like, I think Trubisky, it was reported today that Trubisky, one of the things that they could take his guarantee money away is if he steps up there in front of the microphones and just rips the organization. You know, stuff like that is understandable.
We call that the Jay Cutler clause.
Yeah.
He apparently had that. Not that. Yeah. Did not have that.
But a guy doing his job on the field who, you know, happens to hit a guy with his helmet and getting suspended for it, all that, all of a sudden not giving.
Yeah, playing the game.
And by the way, the Bears had Trevathan's back last year when that did happen, and they presumably would. And that's probably what they're arguing to Roquan Smith. But, you know, Smith's agent saying, well, put it in writing. That's all we're asking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it. All right. I'm with Roquan on this. And
me
we're
too.
Hoping to get Roquan on Roquan, that mm-hmm. whole thing. He doesn't seem to
so
see it the same
soon.
Way. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think if the Bears can get him to play, I think we're going to have a lot of trouble getting him on this show. kind of the way I'm looking at this
it
now.
It was going so smoothly, too.
Yeah, until just this moment.
Up.
Yeah. All right. Thank
Are you
very
saying
much.
Yeah, are you saying he's holding out from your show, too?
I'm saying yes. That's clearly there's a holdout at the moment.
Yeah.
All right, thank you very much. Thanks.
Bye, guys.
All right, there he is, Bears Insider Adam Hoge. All right, let's check in now and find out what's coming up from Andrea at the top of the hour in the news.
Well, a duck boat tragedy last week on a Missouri lake has led to a lawsuit. That's coming up at 7.
Violetta. All right, Patty Vasquez has just stepped up to the microphone. She's about to take us away.
Hello, yes. Patty.
Hey, how's it going?
All right.
I love that I don't have to watch that Sacha Baron Cohen show because you guys do a great... I mean, I don't because you do a great job of in summation
it's
for
so
it.
It's so nice of you saying that. I so blew it today because I set up the wrong clip, you know, which is the worst thing that can happen in radio.
It's fine.
Do not know it. But there is...
It's so uncomfortable.
Yeah, this... It is. It is so uncomfortable. And the part with Roy Moore... where you see these guys, you can tell, I would love to know, there should be a show that shows you how they snookered these people.
Oh, I agree.
Because in some of these cases, these are like long, these are long cons to get them. No
oh,
relation.
Indeed. Right. You have a publicist and or they have an email that introduces themselves sure. and sets the whole thing up.
Several layers yes. of, you know, go-betweens before you get to the
these
actual person.
Characters for 2 years have had websites and other things designed. They have a backstory for all the guys that Sacha Baron Cohen is playing.
Mm-hmm.
They have a real estate transaction in Greece on the one Geo guy, the Israeli former Mossad guy that he's pretending to be. There's a whole background on him. There was an award ceremony where they brought these guys to an award ceremony and gave them awards from the government of Israel, and no one figured it out.
So you're saying the Google search is pretty deep as far as how many pages they
yes.
have.
And so
searches, yeah.
So to get Roy Moore to fall for it is, Roy Moore was one of the people that they've showed walk away from this, but what it took to get him to walk away, even on his way out, I still support Israel, but I do not support what's going on here. Everybody's like afraid. He wasn't quite sure still who he was dealing with.
Oh, no doubt. It's all very surreal. Anyway, yeah, it was fun to listen to. And then my son had to see the video because he heard you playing the clip.
There
so he was showing me that as well with the scanner, the body scanner. But yeah, I hope you guys have a wonderful evening. We have some friends from the Polo Club. I don't know if you saw Andrea doing polo on WGN-TV.
Attempting.
Playing polo.
Attempting.
You're playing
to.
Polo? She was playing polo.
I actually hit it like a croquet mallet, mm-hmm. and apparently that's wrong.
See, but if you don't tell us, we don't know that.
Right,
we're not.
See?
Wow. We're not criticizing that.
Darn it, I'd be so afraid to hit the pony's, like, you know, legs that I would be like, oh, I don't
yeah.
know. I wouldn't be very good at it.
Or hit him in the...
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, God.
You know, in the nose.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Tookus. I think she meant tookus. Is that what
tookus?
Oh, tookus. No. Oh, boy.
Yeah, that'll get a reaction.
Mm-hmm. And we have a couple of our friends from the Block Club Chicago, a couple of journalists to talk about the stories. Lee Edwards and Kelly Bauer will join us, and Jen Zanotti for Motivational Monday. And you're freaking me out that you hear Andy Mazur, because I thought there was a game.
Don't freak out.
I'm not going to freak out. Okay.